you know, yeah, just get them, even if it's going up with me and one. Okay. thank you, members. Today, as we all know, that we are meeting on the, we are meeting the National Heritage Council, and we have requested them to come with the steering committee and all the affected groups from the. Somebody corrected me, said I must not just take everyone is a Khoisan, there's a Khoisan, there's a Nama, and a Fan. Oh, is it fine? Five groups. Okay, yeah, you'll just give us a little bit of detail on that one, so that we as South Africans can be on board on because only know about the trade groups. David Zirman, who was a king, who was taken to Australia, who was a... I would call him a rebel by those, then it would be a situation of kind of subjugation, but I think this one was taken to Australia. The reason that we invited the National Heritage Council is because we, ASEAN Culture is a custodian, ASEAN Culture Department is a custodian of us in South Africa. And we are very happy with the process that has been started. I was saying to somebody that our history is not known. A new history book is written once again. Because our history, we are only taught of different kind and different kind of battles, so that we are brainwashed. We don't know anything about our history. What I will do right now, I will introduce a member of parliament so that we can know who is who. I believe everyone has got a pad because there's a lot of us here, so we must remember, just write down and remember who is who and who is representing who. I will start with myself. My name is Thandile Suluza. I am the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture. I am a member of the ANC, and I'm from Gauteng. And next to me is Honorable Linda Moss. She is a member of this Portfolio Committee. She is a member of the ANC. She is from Western Cape. She's happy today because she says my family is here. Next to her is Honorable Mabunda. He is from Limpopo, the member of the ANC. Next to him is Honorable Ntukela, who is a member of the COPE. He's a member of COPE and he's from the Eastern Cape. And how did. So I'm not sure what's happening to him, he's not sure where he's come from. Then there's another Ntapane, who is a member of the UDM. He is from the Eastern Cape. Next to him there is Dr. Ina Van Stalvik. She is from the Northern Cape, so most of you will be happy now. She is a member of the Democratic Alliance. Paras Livaniki. Okay. Then you've got Honorable Farai, who is a member of the ANC, and he's from the Free State. Free State. Then you have Honorable Namita Shulvana. She is from Limpopo, and she's a member of the ANC. Who did I leave out, Honorable Members? I think Jonathan Van der Berg was outside. Next to me is Ajabulile Tia. She's our committee secretary, and she's from around the Google too. You have Policy Namuka, who's our content advisor. He's from KwaZulu Natal. You have Fiona Clayton. She's our committee researcher. She's also from a local. She's local also. You have Donnie van der Westhuizen. He went out to do some copies. He was here right now. He's coming back. I know they are from the department, but I always say they are also part of us. You have Noveta Zasan by the Red Jacket. There she is from the Eastern Cape. She works for the department. She's the PLO of the Deputy Minister, and she's still single. And you have... and you have Sam... Where's the... Oh, yes, Sam Mahatane. He is a PLO of the minister. and he is from Gauteng and he is single. Then Kokeli Tanda from the SABC just entered. He's our media. You know him very well. And then I think you have, which social media from? Your name?
Yeah.
You have Bianca, who is from the Weekend August. Then you came from the same New Weekend August. Okay. Thank you for... Are those the two only members of the media? Is there anyone else? Oh, the Berger. Oh, how are you? You disappeared from a meeting yesterday. Okay. 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 Am I done with my... What's that? Okay, because I mean, I'm doing litigation from the other side and at NHC, I'll give over to Vusendima with the DG on heritage in the department.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Vusendima Ndima for the Department of Arts and Natural Resources for Heritage Promotion and Reservation. I'm also being accompanied by Dr. Sakiwo Tiso, who is responsible for monitoring and evaluation in the department. And the chair has made my work easier by introducing some of the members of the department from Matatra and Mr. Samba. I would like to hand over to through the chair to advocate Manoto.
Chairperson, honorable members. From the side of the National Research Council, my name is Sonabile Mangoja, the CEO of the National Research Council. We also have our general manager, Mr. Taylor Magoma. That side is heritage, sorry, general manager of the Heritage Council. We also have Mr. Tembe Yako, who is the office manager in the National Research Council, that is the heritage manager, that is. Of course, we have the leadership of quite a nation, whom I will categorize as the National Quest Council. That is the structure that is here. National Quest Council. And of course, Tibetan, they have the question of due respect that you allow a possible, you know, a prayer. From the Khoisan Nation in the meeting place. But he will, I'm talking about now, he's on the circle of Khoisan Nation. But the national chairperson of Khoisan Council will introduce the delegation of the National Khoisan Council. With your permission, Chairman.
Honorable Chair, I've got the flu illness and I've got another illness too, and that is that I cannot remember the names of these. So we made an arrangement last night that my members will introduce themselves. And so I'll ask them to, from that side, to stand up and just introduce yourself.
I'm Chief Johan George of the Eastern Cape, member of the National Question Council, as well as a member of the ANC political party.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Royal Chief Stanley Peterson. I'm the agent of the Griqua Nation. I'm talking on behalf of the King, the Griqua people of Africa. As my leader next to me said, I'm also a good standing member of the ruling party.
Good morning to all. I'm Anton Peterson. I'm the Royal Spokesperson for the Faithful Runner of South Africa, and I'm also Deputy Chair of the NCC. Thank you.
That's probably here.
My name is Cyril Lefleur. I'm the chairperson of the National Khoisan Council, but I'm also the chairperson of the Griqua National Conference. That is my own Griqua organization. I want to tell you what party I support.
No, it's obvious.
My name is Elsie Strombok. Elsie Strombok from the Northern Cape. I am representing the CERN and all the other CERN members.
I am Johannes Jacobus Marman. I am from the Eastern Cape. I'm a spokesperson for my tribe at home, and I'm also a member of the NPC.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Prince Wenzel Kazal from Kimberley, Northern Cape, the tribe who is called Kwe, and I'm also the member of NKR and the member of Prusella House of the Traditional Leader of Northern Cape, and I'm also the good steering of ANC Rural Party. Thank you.
I believe some people have not introduced themselves. Okay.
I'm Andrew Radam from Port Elizabeth. I am a member of the steering committee with the National Heritage Council, and we belong to the Khonkwa tribe. That's the question.
Thank you.
Morning, everybody. My name is Errol Haynes. I am the chairperson of the South End Museum Trust, who was engaged in this in the research on this project for the last 10 years. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody. I am Chief Khan Kaub Maleba from the Eastern Cape. I'm the authoritative chief in the Nelson Mandela Metro and also the Sundays River Valley. I am a member of the steering committee of the David Stearman project in the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone that was closer?
Yes. We do not get chapter. The Airfield Council is also represented the community by board members. We had national constitution the party that was appointed by the Airfield Council. We have Mr. Zolani Mkiba, who chairs the International Relations Committee. We also have, that is Mr. Zolani Mkiba on the side. We also have Dan Baleb, who is part of you know, the panel of experts of the National Research Council, who has also been assigned to be part of the task team. Of course, owing to his experience in the repatriation of Sergeant Batman in 1998.
Thank you. Thanks to everyone. I hope, I will believe as the meeting continues, we'll all remember our names and we'll remember who we are. But I think before we start, one of the important issues that I think you must just teach the portfolio committee, maybe teach myself. I had the Hamdwas and all that. Although some of the, it's part of learning for us, because we thought it's auditory, but we just clarify it to us, etc. Because I heard Mr. Jordan like, was saying something else, and I'm saying, there are so many, but it's one of the history that we are interested in. That is not written, you know. This is the history that is not written. So to us, it's history that we are doing today. I didn't introduce Mr. Nekema Darer, his honorable member. He is a member of the DA, but I think his heart is in the ANC, you see. So we call him Diva Nikki because he's a renowned name. But I forgot, there's Tiffany at the back there. Tiffany just raised her hand. Tiffany is from PMG. So whatever you say in this meeting is recorded. That's why when you speak, must speak on the mic. So tomorrow you don't accuse us, or tomorrow you don't take us to court and say, I didn't say this. Tiffany is from Kenya. Yeah, she doesn't want to tell me who she supported on the election, whether Odinga or Kenyatta. She's just quiet, but she's a lovely lady. I think we can start now. The reason that we call it, I think I highlighted it just in my introduction to say that we needed this commission as an a portfolio committee on art and culture. One thing I want to highlight in this meeting that I think when such situations happen, everybody wants to own the process. This process is not owned by anybody. It's owned by South Africans. It's led by the Khoisan people, but it's owned by all of us. You can see also the hype in South Africa. Everyone is excited about this, even when we are amongst all religions. So I would appeal, because I was not happy. The portfolio committee took the initiative to call him. Yeah, that's why we said you must all come here, because now there was a problem now that people were saying that you report to COFTA, you don't report to us. No, no, it doesn't work like that. We are one government. Even if the DTI can call you, as Khoisan, you must go. Even if health calls you, you must go. There's no one who owns you. You might be under a structure of a certain, because we've got structures. You might be under a certain structure, but we've got the right to call you as well. The presidency has got the right to call you, and department has got the right to call you, as long as your mandate is under what the AHC has said. I thought I should clarify that, because there were members, as I've told you, there were certain bodies that now, no, we own the Khoisan, no one owns the Khoisan, no one owns anybody, no one owns this process, except us, you, the Khoisan people, and the government of South Africa, and the people of South Africa. I just want to clarify that very, very quickly. Whoever calls you and say, don't come to our meeting, I have fixed that very quickly. I was not impressed with that, to be told by an official that you must not come to my meeting. Yes, I know about it, and I know who is it, and I'm going to deal with him after this meeting. Because this was started by you, now people want to own it. It will be continued by you, and it will continue like this. And I hope, at the end of this meeting, who's the leader of the situation? Oh, no, you are not secret, just open some. No one must confuse you. Unfortunately, I think one of the members of the portfolio of your steering committee is Ms. Hope Malgas. I think she's not able to join board. I believe she's got a portfolio committee. She's one of the people who came to me and said, Chairperson, here is the process. We believe you, because this is also us and culture and heritage. Come on board. That's why we are on board. So people must not come and want to own anything. I think I was not impressed. I must just clarify that very quickly. I've spoken to the Minister of, Mr. Baloyi. I've spoken to the DG of Arts and Culture. I think those roles are clarified. So I believe and hope that this steering committee will not change. It will stay as it is, Mr. Manojo. Because what I know, when something now get hype, and everybody want to come in. And some will come and say, no, I'm the family of David Sturman. No, I am the one. Here, I started this process. I hope it doesn't change. It stays like this. We as a portfolio committee of Arts and Culture will give you all the support you need. You know. And actually, one of the issues that we were saying that is to start to put a debate in Parliament on this, to show how much we support this. Obviously, heritage is an entity of Arts and Culture. It's represented. Whatever you need, then we'll talk about it. I know you are surprised that my tone is so angry, because I had to solve some of the issues as well. I'm a gender activist, but I see one woman, but it's fine. Let's not go to that politics. I only see one woman, and I hope... Oh, you are very strong. I'm happy when you say that. What I will do now, I'll give over to the NAC, because you must also give us a brief about this, and we start. Mr. Manojo, over to you.
Thanks so much, Chairperson, and honored members. With your indulgence, Chairperson, as I indicated earlier on, that the Khoisan leadership would love to to be given an opportunity to perform their ritual and as well as their own prayers. And I've been reminded even as we're talking now, with your indulgence, I'll hand over to you, Chairperson, again, before I start.
Okay. In South Africa, if no one is going to be offended, can I just check with a member of the portfolio committee? If members are, because remember we are from different religions, so some might be offended, because we must respect the constitution. Some of us are children, by the way, so as Christians are more looking forward to which one of us. Is there anyone who's going to be offended, members? Members of the media? Members of... No, we must check. I don't want tomorrow people will say that we... Okay. Okay. Okay, let me do it.
Commons Bessam, can we pray, please? And to take contact on Putin. Tom, the Tao, the non guided Arama, Hatu Kangwell. Ah, Mahi had it on a divide to know who Yoka is and over. Can the Jate Quate, Emma, Fossiter, Nova Catalan, D, Nutaiqua, Kumite, Kumquate, Tao, Hayoha, Dwanjum Pazu, Ajea, Klatram, Yabundra E, Tiratisha E, Mahua, Younger Tao, Down D, and Nature Quatu. Which is Makora in Africa. The Makora said like Africa, Makora Africa, where they wish to say, can Chica choose your time. They thought Afroka had its own case, they chose it. Amen.
Good morning.
Are we done? Yes.
Oh, that was great.
Okay.
Hey, Mr. Mamoto, I'll hand over to you. Don't ask us to talk it.
A little concern is that, you know, prayer is fine. A little concern is that I thought someone asked us to close eyes and my neighbor didn't close.
Then my question is that, how did you see that his eyes were open? I think maybe we must constitute a DC in the portfolio committee because I remember. What about you?
Chairperson, how did he see that his neighbor didn't close his eyes?
I don't know. You must answer the spot local me. Don't think the language you must understand.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think we are so fortunate today that we have got the princes and the chiefs. I'm a Kosi.
Oh, by the way, she's a chief.
Yeah. Well, we no longer say chief. I think you like an appropriate name to call yourself, see if it's not king, no. But not a chief. Mm. And to have the prince here. Mm. And also to say that I think the chairperson forgot that we have also Amakosi here. He comes from Gauteng. He doesn't come from a rural area. We have got Inkosi Mabunda there. Which I think you must know that we have got Inkosi in the meeting there.
Mm.
I'm also an Inkosi. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Oh, I also Inkosi.
No,
so you are accepted. How can? So you are a subject. Okay, this is how this portfolio committee is. You will get it. We are not hostile. Oh, by the way, I'm also from the royalty of from the King Langalbalele's house. Hey, but here we are growing into it. So, when the CEO of NEC calls me, she calls me as a book because I'm part of her. So it's my name. Okay. Chief Mabunda and Chief Namita Shulbana. I think you know Chief Namita Shulbana a lot. Okay. Baba Mangwansi.
Thanks so much, Chairperson. And Bulis again. And Mazibuko, Pungani. To Mkulungulungul, what I'm going to Pungani. Just to introduce the subject matter, the National Leadership Council was approached by the leadership of the Khoisan Nation. This initiative has been going on for a long time. represented on 15th of March at the Bigo Center in Ginsberg, Cleveland Town, in the Eastern Cape Province. With your indulgence, Chairperson, the document that we are actually using is the one that is, which is the report on the repatriation of the digital man. Now, as members of the committee, remember that the Heritage Council has the mandate, one of those being coordination of heritage sector, but also, more specifically on this one, repatriation or advising. The ministry and government on repatriation of heritage objects. We're not talking about repatriation of heritage objects, we're talking about them in the broader sense, which means human remains, objects, audiovisual materials, And the most sensitive among on this category is the human remains. Now, when we approach the Heritage Council, that is before this meeting of the 16th of March, Heritage Council had already commissioned a research when we funded a South End Museum to undertake a project of research on Chief David Spearman. I think the word that the Khoisan community wants to use in pronouncing that is not David, David. David Spearman, which has three components, of course, namely, where a workshop with relevant stakeholders participating, drawn from foreign. It was, you know, the Solomon Matlam School, Chetty, Newell, you know, Koma Tlali communities. And as well as, of course, affected community, Nelson Mandela Bay municipality, which was Inkwa, Damaskwa, Gonakwa. Another component of that the project that we funded was a search on Chief David Spearman around Khoisan heritage. And as well as a mobile exhibition, of course, which had to be moved to a red location museum, and District 6, which is a mobile museum. That was very successful work. I think for the first time in South Africa, we produced a book, thanks as well to South End Museum, of which the chairperson of the South End Museum is here, Errol, will address this meeting later on. Now, the book on Chief David Spearman covered the engagement of Chief David Spearman, a Khoi leader, who was jailed in Robben Island three times. I think the only one who was jailed three times and escaped two times. Many people associate Robben Island with icons, Nelson Mandela, Walter Sisulu, and others. But little is known about the fact that in the 1800s, these gallant fighters were there in Robben Island. That famous escape in 1820 of Makanda, who was the councillor, Father Tlavukulu. As you know, that there were two sons of Palo, Khad and Kaleka, and Makanda came from was the councillor of Ntlambe. They fought side by side, along with Amakulukwe, and as well as that is the Xhosa, you know, speaking Khoi Khoi. And all that a cooperation at a military level. And of course, this then becomes part of a very important chapter for history, which is the colonial wars, which is wars, frontier wars, 10 wars that were fought there. Now, talking about this leader, he is known, that is David Spearman, to have fought in the battle that took place between 1799 and 1803, that he led. Together with, of course, Spearman, which is the brother of that Spearman's family that was very strong at the time. And this war was fought successfully. And some people actually do know that the war was initially won, actually, as the war actually that was led by Makanda was never won, because although it, that is the war of Kremstown. That the Battle of Kremstown, which becomes the Fifth Frontier War. Now, coming to this, the Khoi Khoi leader was jailed there. He was among the first political prisoners, of course, to incarcerate Robben Island and one of the few that escaped the island. Now, his escape, of course, was with fellow Khoisans, as in Hans Trobeter, who was later killed when they were recaptured. And as well as Khoisa Prophet Makane, who drowned on his way offshore. Who never returned. By the way, Makanda is returning tomorrow. Now, there is now going to be an end to this famous cause of thing that somebody cannot return, whether you have been asked to go to shop, if you are referred to a cause of Kanya, it means something that never comes back. Now, Nwale is going to come back and be repaired in Chabu next to his next of kin, which is something very historic. We also think, Chairperson, that the book that was produced by the two funding of the Heritage Council, Open New Knowledge, which we hope will find its way within charges of the committee, will now to your own assistance, that this information finds its way to the education curriculum of our kids. Because this is the right. All people agree with an article today on Akanda. People are saying we never knew about this. And Of course, as we, you know, chipped up the money to compatriots swam offshore, then only to be recaptured and returned to Robben Island. Came to the world and ultimately transported to the penal colony of New Wales in Australia in 1823 aboard what's called Plumpton, together with another coiling, which is Chinese Creed. Now, that book you'll see that was produced by Special Counsel talks about that this icon worked at the military barracks for 6 years before he would be granted a ticket leave. That was short leave that we were told that in 1830 he passed on. And now, numerous attempts by his family with assistance of Thomas Spengler and Bannister to have him return to his home failed. Sadly, he died without having made use of labor freedom that he was given for running. Now, of course, coincidentally, he lived during the same time of a massacre in Batman, which is another symbol of operation of the coin. Now, we're not talking about, of course, when this presentation was done to us in the Irish Council, we thought that this is a very important project. It has been going on, and the Khoisan leadership has been, you know, talking about it, mobilizing society. What the Irish Council did meeting was to appoint a task team. That task team was created by four members of the Irish Council. Repeat that Professor Sitole is not around. He apologized. Of course, we have Denver Webb, who is a historian himself, who was part of repatriation of Sami Padma in his old days at the head of the Department of African Culture in the Eastern Cape. Historian of note, but really will come and then when you hear him talking, you'll hear that indeed we have got the right team. We also, of course, it is Zolani Kiva, who's a contemporary, an activist in the traditional, and history, part and being, of course, the advisor of the presidency of Kondralesa, and of course also the CEO of the Cultural Council, and you've got such a, people in the trust team myself. Now, what the Heritage Council did was then to structure a meeting. We went to Port Elizabeth, Mandela Bay, I'm sorry. We had a meeting, which was very successful. That meeting was attended by the constituencies and the chiefs. I'm sorry, in fact, that word is not used. Ingu, Khosi, from the Khoisan Nation. I must mention, Jefferson, that this is a very emotive issue. But the Irish Council was guided by one thing that I think we mentioned to Jefferson, that it's important because when we talk about this icon, we're talking about somebody who led the entire rebellion of Khoisan Nation. But also, it's an opportunity to unify the country. It's a practical example of looking at social cohesion in Central Africa. So throughout that meeting that we had in Opera House in PE, guided by all this, as you know, I mean, the meeting was not, the issues were very emotive, more especially the Khoisan Nation. We emphasized as an institution of government that ours is to ensure that we reserve heritage, the guidelines. Of course, as you know, that Sosara is part of the Research Council Board. They also represented that the issue should be done according to heritage protocols, proper protocols. And then we ensure that we're able to harness unity in South Africa. We're able to, that this project has not retarded progress in the country, but also once more raise the plight of oppression and the slavery of Khoisan Nation, but also highlight the issue of marginalization of Khoisan Nation during the time of course, slavery, the whole bad treatment that they suffered for many years. And of course, the genocide that was, committed against the Khoisan community and the nation. But also, Jefferson, for South Africans, most especially the current generation, to understand this, the evolution of this nation. We had a very successful meeting. That meeting agreed to structure a steering committee. We identified stakeholders. Of course, Jefferson and other members, buoyed by the experiences of South Africa where Sagi Batman was repatriated successfully in South Africa for the first time. The stakeholders were agreed, I think, to about 15 to 20 stakeholders that should be involved in the project. And of course, the whole issue when they came to the Heritage Council, to the leadership of Khoisan Nation, already the issue was on the media, you know, and then, of course, for the first time now, when the Heritage Council was set down with the leadership, that there was then now a process that to agree on. Part of the stakeholders, of course, is the National Khoisan Council, which are the rightful custodians in the leadership of Khoisan people. And fortunately, in this leadership, you have, you know, a very consistent leadership of people who have been involved in this process. The chairperson himself, and as well as, you know, the deputy chairperson. Last night, chairperson, to show that we take this matter seriously, I think we slept only 1 or 2 hours in the morning, because we, you know, because we respect the committee itself, we wanted to ensure that we really structure the meeting and also discuss this, the plan, the action plan that we have. And as I said, that issue is very emotional. We understand the Heritage Council, that issue has been going on, but for the first time ever since, there's been now, can I say, coordination. Now we've got the steering committee in place, we've identified other stakeholders, according to their mandate, to actually come and join the campaign. We actually coming from China as the National Research Council, and when we raised this issue with the Chinese, they said to us that once we talk about repatriation, there's always an issue, more especially in this country, whether it's not going to result in diplomatic embarrassment for having done one thing or another. You know, in South Africa, that is an unresolved issue of the skull of Zanzor, who also fought against the British, and that issue has not been resolved. And even this one is not talking about it. Australia, we also, I think, the meeting, mindful of the fact that, of course, that we learn from those experiences, but knowing that the issue can be a thorn issue, we thank this committee for having taken bold steps, I think, for the first time, after the Heritage Council has sat down to function our process. For the first time now with this parliamentary, I mean, there's a presentation in the Portfolio Committee of Arts and Culture, which I think helps the process. And in the meeting last night, the steering committee agreed that this is a very important, you know, process itself. Now, as I said, Chairperson, that in among the stakeholders, of course, is international relations. We've got to look at the international instruments, the framework, legal framework that guides, that is the agreement between the two countries, Australia and South Africa. Of course, also look at heritage protocols, the whole issue of conventions. But also, of course, I must mention that one of the challenges that is, you know, deporting of the chiefs David Stearman to Southwest in Australia in 1823 happened, we're talking about something that happened 240 years back. So one of the challenges is to trace the lineage of this icon in terms of family. Of course, now, you know, you'll agree, Khosi, that everybody next to you will be, a Stearman now will be somebody black, somebody, you know, maybe a different origin. And so in terms of tracing that genealogically, it's also going to present a challenge. Unlike, for instance, Makanda is still at eighth generation. Now, there's the issue of testing, that is the DNA testing to pathology, which, you know, somebody must test positively. But of course, listen, the guidelines of UNESCO, they're guiding us here that you must have a reason of repatriating somebody. The reason of repatriating Chief Harvard Starman is that you must receive a decent barrier. And so, according to his rituals and his people. And fortunately, there is the leadership of Khoisan community. There's an issue, of course, that is still debated. And research will say it must also go on. Where the grave should be, where to locate that. And they will actually, I mean, leadership will talk about that, but I'll just tease out those issues. There's other preparations that have taken place, except for Sagbatman, were successfully undertaken. Those are the experiences that we'll have. But we have agreed yesterday that We need to be to structure, as we have done, stakeholder engagement, so that there's nobody left outside in the process. And all the communities that are involved, they must be left. They must be inclusive as possible in this respect. It's another opportunity, Chairperson, to rewrite the history of South Africa. And of course, the colonial wars that were 400 years in the decade, and then of course, going back and then use that to strengthen. As I made the example of Chinese, that they have invested in their heritage. And at the moment, they are now the strongest superpower in the West, surpassing traditional superpowers like America. It is because of their unwavering commitment to their own heritage. If you look at the museum, National Museum of China, to where kids are taught their own in the evolution of China, and they will go back to school immediately. And something that the committee will have to grapple. Now, what are the administrative and technical issues around this process? Here you're talking about that a lot of work has been done. We said to ourselves, Chairperson, that we should not reinvent the wheel. Let's recognize what has been done so far, the research led by the Research Council, but also recognize, Chairperson, that this project relies on oral history, indigenous wisdoms. I mean, if you hear Khoisan leadership speaking, there's a lot that you look at. The issue of location of remains in Australia, that is going to be also another challenge. With such a Batman, it was not difficult because the remains were kept in the museum. Now, this one may be a bit tricky. Exhumation process is that. I spoke about, that indication. Repatriation according to relevant legal prescripts. Of course, we learn from other repatriations like class, Pena Pinar, of course, and we know the difficulties and challenges, but those are successfully undertaken. One area is that we need to agree on that the consensus on appropriate site for dignified burial, which is key. Of course, other structures need to be involved. Now, in conclusion, Chairperson, we have agreed in the steering committee, and I mean they are still going to touch according to these issues. Honourable Chairperson, you have stated in this meeting correctly that Khoisan Nation is not something understood, And we thought that in this meeting, as you can see the suggestions that we have, that in the leadership of Khoi, Cecil actually deals with the history of Khoi, said, in brief, just like a helicopter view, who is Khoi said, and then not really the evolution, because if I talk about evolution of Khoi, I'm talking about the thesis. But now it's important just to sketch both of that. And of course, I've already dealt with who Chief Douglas Stillman is, but of course, Carol Haynes will also deal with, some of the, area that might have left. Because, as I said, Carol Haynes is a chairperson of Southern Museum that we actually funded to come up with the information for the first time. I've already dealt with the background to the project. Of course, Daniel Webb will deal with the experiences and the whole legal framework that we're talking about here. Then we leave for questions and comments by the members, no comment. I must mention, as Chairperson, honorable members, that this is not a perfect process. We in the Research Council had to hold a process that is already ongoing. But our concern was that, look, Douglas Stillman belongs to the African Nation. There are heritage bodies that are involved there. One day I was sitting watching television when I called one of the leaders of Khoisan community, because he appeared on a talk show, talking about David Stillman, and that is one of the members, Christian Martin. The question was, is there any process? And I found that indeed there was actually no process. Now, they came to the committee. For the first time now, there is a process, which I think is not perfect. We are trying to improve on that. We have agreed the study to ensure that there is inclusivity of purpose. And Charleston has mentioned that. This campaign has been going on and on, but albeit a very, can I say, scanty way and uncoordinated. And we're then saying that at least now there is a process. And of course, the Khoisan National Council, which is indeed very, right custodians of this, because this should be led by the nation Western nation themselves, along with the slogan, nothing about us without us. But of course, within the Research Council, SARA, and other people, were using actually our own, legal mandates, you know, so that the process is done in a very dignified way. We are saying, in conclusion, that the reburial of Chief David Stearman will provide an opportunity to really promote social cohesion and nation building in South Africa. It will protect needs, government, political leadership, and cohesion communities to join hands together. We even had to sing a song, "The More We're Together, We Are One." And that shows us that means that when we have read these meetings, holding our hands, all of us. Because I think that this project should unify and unite South Africa. The successful implementation of the project will hopefully, in the later hands, see the legacy that our descendants will look back and say this was indeed a landmark in the history of South Africa. Some of the things that the Chairperson is talking about, of course, the construction of monuments of the Chief David Stearman, but we're saying that that process indeed, it's an opportunity that South Africa should never miss to unify the people of South Africa, to take about the history, untold history, to rewrite our history once more, that must find its way to the education curriculum, and so that our kids are taught, instead of being taught with jaws of crocodiles and the trees, what is called culture today. But the content of culture should actually improve so that in the history subject is taught, and without this history, you know, you find that, I mean, everybody's kid here will say that we don't know it. Even South Africans will say they don't know it. So Sakhi Batman return will actually indeed remobilize our society to refocus our strategies and improve and invest on heritage and then culture once more. And with your indulgence, Chairperson, there's this, this agenda that we suggested and of how we structure the discussion or the debate for the discussion committee. Lastly, we are also saying, Chairperson, with your leadership, that the portfolio committee leads a debate in the national parliament to raise once more the legacy, the history of Khoisan Nation, and sometimes, you know, distortions that are there. It's going to be very important as part of the legal process as well, because when I approached Australia, you know, there must have been some reference to parliamentary, whether South Africa has discussed this issue and parliament has discussed it. It's going to be a reference point. As we as the department, we learned that France had to pass a specific legislation, you know, that as a country. So this debate led by the committee, of course, Chairperson, coincided with the Land Act, 100 years of Land Act, because here, once talk about Chief David Stearman, you will talk about the Land Act, the 100 years of the Land Act of 1913. Unfortunately, our intellectuals wrote about this, Saul Plage wrote about it, they wrote about it, Tango Jabal wrote about it, and Ibora Bansundu and so forth, and we go back to that history. Excess Council has produced these books. There's a book on Saul Plage. And Saul Plage mentions, I mean again, Chief David Stearman. He has this beautiful icon who really was so gallant and very strong. And the one for Chairperson, thanks so much. And with your indulgence, we can, ask for the committee if you can follow the sequence in terms of how we have proposed Chairperson without taking anything from the committee and the powers. Perhaps we get this, of course, and in brief, and of course, following that order. Thank you.
No, we will give over to you until you finish the program. So we're going to indent now, and we'll just break you into time. But I think before, we'll just give you as a gist. That's why you are silent. We'll ask everything at the end when everybody has spoken. But I believe that it doesn't just, when we ask questions, it won't limit to only people here. Everyone can ask the questions over there. But I think before, as Honorable Mshwana, we've got Honorable Mshwana, a member of the portfolio committee who has just walked in from another meeting. She's a member of this portfolio committee. She's also a member of the basically education portfolio committee.
fortunately, well, she came in so that she can raise more of the issues that we raised based on education in the Education Portfolio Committee. She's from Limpopo. She's also a member of the ANC. I'm told there is a Miss Bonita Bennett. She is from the District 6 Museum. Welcome. And back there, just that this is a national issue. He didn't tell me when he met me outside. We've got a inkosi of Abateng from the King Dalindyebo Committee. His name is Vulukanyo Fadana. He was sitting at the back there. Inkosi. He is a part of us here. And also, Uchi Fadana, the leader, was also a prisoner in the Robben Island in 1858, together with Magana and Magana. So he's a lineage of that generation. So that tells that Mr. Webb, where is he? We've got a lot of history to write. Because we learned about the boat of Vasco da Gama from, where was it? Lisbon. I was studying in African city. Then it was studied and it stopped at the Cape Colony, stopped in Mozambique, went to fight spices in India. And Christopher Columbus moving, got lost, going to the Western Islands. So I'm happy because this is our history. So and Simon van der Stel who came and then that's all we know as African children. You know, and we wrote history that we never even knew what it was, you know. And we're told to write a journey by train. We've never written a train. How would you write with a train when you've never seen it in your life? Or and then they say to write an essay, a visit to the beach. You've never even seen a beach. You know, I'm trying to say that part of us that we are not doing well because we're not writing about our history. You know, we don't even know. I've never seen them. I'm just imagine there's a big fish with teeth. You know, you fail because you said you said that because the fish had walked because we don't know. We've never seen a fish. So I'm trying to say that to us it's historical and I will give over to you, just continue, we'll just ask questions at the end. But Ms. Ndima, I would like to also hear from you, what is the role of the department in this? I know you will say to us, no, the entity of the NAC, but we can just continue.
Thank you very much, but since, as I said earlier on, but I will request with your indulgence, the chairperson of Khoisan Council, Mr. Cecil Diplo, to deal with the history of Khoisan Nation. Thanks.
Thanks. Also, got to clarify those questions that were asked about. Linda, which part of, do you know where? And so you are the Khrukwa? Or you are still not sure? Okay.
Maybe provide a show in DNA tested.
Thank you, Chairperson. To reflect on this is a huge task because it's a long story and I will not be able to give you a lesson on South African history, but I'll try to do it in a nutshell just to reflect quickly on the Khoisan people. It is widely known today that there are people in South Africa who call themselves the first indigenous peoples of South Africa. It created a lot of bait-licking and within government circles, within the ordinary South African life, about this claim of certain segment of the South African population claiming that they were the first people. Now, the Khoi and San people firmly believe that the Khoi and San people were here in the southern part of the African continent long before any other group of people, any other tribes, any other identities, human identities, migrated to this part of Africa. And we base our knowledge on this on oral history, but also on archaeology and anthropology and all that. It is, however, not my intention to go into a debate on that today. What I want to reflect on is that as long as human memory can go back, the Fan people were here in South Africa. And I don't speak about Southern Africa. But they were here in South Africa. There's a lot of proof of that. All this rock art paintings and all that archaeological findings and so on to prove that. Then a few thousand years ago, some historians, and I don't know what my friend over there will say, but some historians come up to say that about 2,000 years ago, these same hunter-gatherers started to, or a segment of them, split away from the main sand group. And that, according to the archaeologists, happened in the vicinity of present-day Botswana. And then this group of sand people started to become herders. They got hold of sheep and cattle, and the theory is that they went up along the west coast, deeper into the continent of Africa, and they met with other African tribes, and they got that livestock from them. And they brought them back, and they moved with that livestock all over South Africa, and also down where we are sitting now. But before that, being hunter-gatherers, they moved around in the whole country, South Africa, for that matter. So when they split it now, they became two different types, two different entities. The one being hunter-gatherers and the other being herders, pastoralists. And that resulted in the fact that their lifestyle changed. And also the variations in the I don't know what to say in the DNA, but they become a little bit different, both in lifestyle and also in appearance to the Fan people from where they derived. And in times of drought, then they returned to the hunter-gatherer lifestyle, and when things got better climate-wise, they just switched over to the herder pastoralist lifestyle. And today, some people don't understand the difference between Khoi and Fan, and that is the difference between Khoi and Fan. It's the same people, but they differ. Because around about 2,000 years ago, they split it away from each other and became these two different entities. And so in 1928, a German anthropologist, Schulze, I think in the pronunciation, I'm not that German speaking, but Schulze, he did a research on the Khoi and Fan people, and he came forward with this assumption, and according to his research, he was quite sure that the Khoi and Fan people are exactly the same people, and that's why he even called them after 1928 Khoi-San people, putting two together, Khoi Fan people. We also know that after colonization, these people were also called Hottentot and Bushman and all that. But in fact, it was the Khoi and Fan people. So today, where we are sitting here, The Khoisan said, or whatever is also mentioned, said, that the other African tribes who moved down to the southern part of Africa long before European invasion, they mixed with the Khoikhoi people and the Han people, and especially along the east coast, it is believed that the first mixture of this tribes took place along the east coast, and that's why Xhosa people today have got this similarity in clicks. If you listen to his friend, the click language. So, and also today there's a lot of Xhosa communities who now come forward to say that we are actually Khoisan people. We heard that in the DBA, the Department of Traditional Affairs, only 2-3 weeks ago, that, that there are tribes up there who are not tribes but communities who come forward and say that we are part of the Khoisan people. We associate with them. We are mixed with them. The Khoikhoi people, the one part of it, split it into sub-groupings, sub-tribes, under certain leadership. And that today you will find that we get Griqua, Ataqua, Otoniqua, Namaqua, it's Griqua, Ataqua, Namaqua, it's just the government. They all end with the word Kwa. And Kwa means people. And if it's Ataqua, Ata will be the leader. The original big chief. And so it's the people of Ataqua. It's Ata's people. Ataqua. And that is where you got this different Kwa types. But almost similar to Nguni, where Nguni represents, if I'm right, a different tribes. So Khoikhoi is the term for, the umbrella term for all this different Kwa. So when we speak about Khoikhoi, it can be a Griqua or a Ataqua or a Namaqua or any of their Kwas. Koraqua, Kurana, they call them today, the Kurana, Koraqua. And there's all this Kwa. But what we must also know is that when colonization took place after 1652, and even before that, we know that almost 500+ years ago, a very fierce battle was fought down here, not far from here. And it was the first war in South Africa. And it was fought when the Europeans came to our shores. And it was the Khoikhoi people here in the Cape who defended South Africa against that invaders. And so that was the first war, really, between South African and foreign powers. And after that, in 1652, when Jan van Riebeeck and these people arrived here, for the first 110 years of colonization in South Africa, the Europeans only found Khoi and San people in South Africa. And they only interacted with Khoi and San people along the western part of this country. It was only after 110 years that they met for the first time with the Khoisa farmers on the banks of the Fish River. And in that 110 years, they mixed the blood of the Khoikhoi people to the extent that at that time in history, the so-called colored thing already started, because it was mixture between the Europeans and the Khoikhoi people. We all know that in the first part of that period, these people, these Europeans arrived here without wives, without women. And it's obvious what happened now. So, you don't want me to explain that. So that is, but what happened further was that the colonists who came here also drove the Khoisan people out of their geographical settlements in the area. So they had moved far more and more to the north. And the first real exodus, the first real trek in South Africa started in 1740, 1745, in around about that time, when the Griqua people under Adam Kok the first moved out of the Western Cape here around about Pietersburg and Burke River. And they moved northwards into the present-day Northern Cape. And along that way, while they were moving up there, a lot of political things happened down here. And even a regime change took place in the Cape. So from this Dutch farmers was also moved out of the Western Cape. Not the Great Trek, long before the Great Trek. And they joined Griqua Trek north. At the same time, a lot of slaves escaped here from the Cape. And they also joined the Griqua Trek because the Griqua people at that time were very much westernized. They had horses and guns and gunpowder and all that, and they could protect the slaves and even the worse. Against the regime. And so obviously the mixture of blood continued, not only amongst whites and Khoikhoi, but also between slaves and Khoikhoi. And that is where this day, where the colored communities come from. It was the real start of the colored company of South African society. And that's why we say that about 60 to 70%, if not more, of the so-called colored people of today derived from, directly from Khoi and San people, mixed, of course, with all the other blood. What we can also say is that although we are mixed today, we do claim that that there are nobody on the face of the earth that is that's not mixed. We are all mixed. And but we maintain our identity as Khoi and San people, as people that we believe had been here first. I don't make a quotation here, but I just want to refer to the speech of the then president of the country, President Mbeki, when he delivered his speech at the adoption of the new constitution of South Africa in 1996, he called his speech, "I am an African." And in that speech, there's a paragraph that says, "I owe my being to the Khoi and the San people, the first people who reigned the valleys and the mountains and whatever, the plains in South Africa. But unfortunately," he said, "as a people, they perished. And that was a great mistake that he made, because we did not perish. We then confronted him with that, and almost a year later, he sent the then Minister of Constitutional Affairs, Wally Musa, to ask the Khoisan people for their apology that he made a mistake. So when they develop the coat of arms, let me, I don't know a better word.
Yeah,
the coat of arms, no, but develop, designed, that's the right word. When they design the coat of arms, they use three motors in that coat of arms. Three of them are coming from the Khoi Kuti, and the one is the language, the Tam language underneath. It says, Kacha, Ke, Ka, Ka. Can you pronounce it quickly?
Kikarete.
Yeah, which means unity in our diversity. And then also you can see the Lincoln Stone there in that as an image, the two Khoi people standing like that. So the Khoi people were the first to protect this country against foreign invasion. But the Khoi people was also the first people who lost their properties in this country. They were the first to be dispossessed in South Africa. And they've been dispossessed to a level where, in terms of land, we ended up prior to 1994, having no land at all. Not even a single farm. So the Rigrikwa history is well written, and there's a lot of events in that history recording where you can read about the dispossession of Rigrikwa in this country. So what I'm trying to say is that yes, we are at the moment in a position where the president granted us this opportunity to go back prior 1913, beyond 1913, backwards, and to also allow Khoi and San people to claim their land. Because, as I said, when 1913 Land Act was promulgated, the Khoi and San people already lost all their land. So when they in the Kutesa negotiations came to the point where they said the cut-off date will be 1913. They did not take into account the history of the Khoi and San people. And we sent letters to the Kutesa gathering and we asked them, please also keep us in mind. But we were just ignored. So we are grateful for President Zuma and his administration for allowing us to also get this hope that we can go back prior 1930. And we just had a 2-day in Daba, in Kimberley, yesterday and the day before, on this issue. So we are now really preparing ourselves for this. And we know that it is a very contentious issue. It's an issue with a lot of challenges. And we know it will also cause tension in the country. We know that. But in the end, justice must also be served. And so we must find a way out. I don't know what. I don't know how it will evolve from here. But somehow a solution must be. I think that is, what I can also say is that, quickly, is that in 1997, the president at that time, President Mandela, he established a body that was called the Rigrikwa National Forum. It was a body established to negotiate with government on issues pertaining to the Rigrikwa people. Because at that moment in our contemporary history, it was only the Rigrikwa people who fought for their rights in the country. But soon after that, in 1999, the other Khoi and San group also came on board, and we established a body that we now still calling the National Khoisan Council, of the members sitting here belong to that body, in 1999. And that the intention of that body was that it should negotiate the accommodation, the constitutional accommodation, pertaining also to the rights of the Khoisan people, between us and the government. And up till now, very little came out of that. And I want to use this opportunity here in Parliament and in this committee to say that we came as far as a bill that we now call the National Traditional Affairs Bill, NTAB, which is a bill that will deal with the traditional institutions of both Khoisan and all the other African tribes in the institutions that sit already there. What it means, in fact, is that the Khoisan people will also be accommodated within this institution, such as the houses of traditional, provincial houses, the local houses, and the national houses, traditional leaders. But this bill somehow stuck. Something is hammering this. The bill just can't go through Parliament, and we don't know why. And there's no explanation as to why. And it was promised to us by the President himself that this bill would have been through Parliament in 2011 already. It did not happen. Then it was 2012, and the Minister promised us July 2012, I give you my word of honor, this bill will be through Parliament. It's already becoming 12 months later, and we don't get any explanation why it cannot go through Parliament. So we leave this here with the committee and hope that the committee can investigate for us why this bill is somehow stuck somewhere. You know, you a bill in Afrikaans is a... a beast. No, it's a male of a cow. And now we used to say that we don't know where in which camp the bull is. somewhere there's something wrong. But, I think that is enough that I wanted to say, except maybe just to say that there's also a SAN council. The SAN people still believe that they must govern their own affairs and that they must be in charge of the SAN people's activities. Although we decided that we will deal with it as a collective, they still feel that they... although they are part of the National Khoisan Council, they also want to deal with their issues separately in some sort of a way. So there's this the SAN Council to deal with the SAN issues. And but issues now that we are dealing also with except from political issues is also intellectual property issues. At the moment we are fighting the rooibos tea issue. Because rooibos tea, we believe, belonged to the Khoisan people, and it was called Khoisan tea in the past. So that I will end my presentation. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, with your indulgence and honorable members, Mr. Errol Haynes, who is the former... Thank you so much. Mr. Errol Haynes was the former deputy mayor of Port Elizabeth municipalities, now Nelson Mandela Bay, and also the chairperson of Southern Museum, which was responsible for the book that I've already mentioned on Chief David Stillman, funded by the National Heritage Council. He's going to deal, of course, briefly with the history. No. Who is Chief David Stillman? That is one. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Chairperson and Advocate. Yes, as it was said, as the South End Museum, one would ask, how did we get involved into a project such as the David Thierman issue? And I just want to take us back a little bit. South End Museum is essentially a museum which focuses around forest removals, similar to District 6 Museum, Bonnie's here. And when we delved into our functions and looked at our priorities, we found that forest removals did not only take place as a result of apartheid legislation, which was the Group Areas Act at that point in time, but also happened a lot earlier. And it was just said now that a lot of the dispossession of land that took place from of the coin of sand in very early years when the settlers arrived in this country was also one of the earliest examples of forced removals that took place. And that is how we got involved. And when we delved into this, we found that there was this icon called Chief David Stearman, who was in fact one of the earliest revolutionaries of this country, which was not recognized at all, and people did not know about him at all. And we started the research project around Chief David Stearman. Now, you know that even today, we always talk about our freedom fighters. And when we talk about our freedom fighters, we basically refer to the people who existed and who fought against apartheid during the 20th century. And I think it is only fair that we also look at who fought against colonialism long before the 20th century, the 17th, 18th, and 19th centuries as well. And I think a lot of credence is now being given to that particular project by, I think it's the Adelaide, Oliver and Adelaide Tambo Foundation, who is now looking at 300 heroes of South Africa. And the first three of those have already been erected. I think they will be in Johannesburg somewhere, but they were sold out, monuments were put out in Bloemfontein. And David Stearman is one of them, including his brother, Klaas Stearman, who will be one of those heroes as such. Now, David Stearman, if I could just go back, and a lot of it was already said by Edgar Manotra, so I'm not going to repeat many of it, but I'll just fill in the blanks, so to speak. He was born on a farm in 1773 on a farm at the mouth of the Hamtus. And he lived, ironically, as I said, at the same period of time as Sarah Bartman. And in 1778, the governor von Plettenberg gave his own farm away, in fact, to Hilbert Muller. And him and his family were then forced into labor for a farmer by the name of Hans Vermaak. Hans Vermaak, at that stage, was a vicious guy. And in his teens, David Stearman, was tied to a wagon wheel, lashed with shambok, salted, and left in the sun. And he was only rescued by his cousin, and they escaped. And it is that experience, that resulted in David Stearman becoming a revolutionary. So from that point onwards, he joined his brother, who was the chief at that point in time, Klaas Stearman, and they fought a war of liberation, so to speak, if one can say that, against colonialism. But not only against colonialism, a very important point is that the British, who came into power at that stage, were recruiting the Khoi and San people into the military ranks of the British fighting for them, And it was the Stearman family who vociferously resisted that. And so therefore, within the encampments, they took all the Khoi people who left the farms and protected them, of course. Then in 1803, Klaas dies. Klaas Stearman, or Chief Klaas Stearman, he dies in an hunting accident. And Baba then assumes the leadership and occupies land in the Hamtus and is accused of conducting many raids on farms in the area. Of course, the Khoi at that time viewed those farms as their land, that was occupied, And history says that they conducted raids on those farms, so to speak. In 1809, David, together with his brother Boersman, were captured and imprisoned and sent to Robben Island for the first time. 7 months later, he and Boersman and others escaped. David then joined Xhosa on the eastern frontier after his escape, but Boersman was recaptured. Now, David lived for a long period of time, probably about 10 years with Chief Chuba of Xhosa people. And that is where, as was explained earlier, you have this mixture between Xhosa and Khoi people. And in fact, there were tribes that were really Khoi, but spoke Xhosa, eventually. So David then, that was his first time that he got imprisoned. and he escaped after that, you know. He then, as I said, he opposed the recruitment of Khoi to the British ranks, and he continued his storages and attacks on both the colonial powers and on the farms that were there that existed in that period of time. In 1811, he continued his attacks on his colonial farms, and in 1812, Dawit and Khoi soldiers who were armed with guns at the time, and I must make this particular point that the Khoi were quite efficient in terms and very good marksmen in the handling of firearms, you know. So when they joined up with the Xhosa, they were able to protect themselves with firearms, in fact, that they took from the farms, you know. And there's a period that in fact, in 1812, Dawit and Khoi, armed with guns, assisted Chief Abana of the Xhosa in the repelling attack of the colonists. So the colonists attacked them, and they were repelled, you know, in that particular instance. In 1819, he is recaptured again in the colony as a prisoner of war, and imprisoned on Robben Island then for the second time. 8 months later, he joins a mass escape from Robben Island together with Hans Tropetter, Johan Smith. The Xhosa prophet, of course, Makanda, joined in that escape, and unfortunately drowned in that particular escape. Dawit and Al-Khoi leaders survived and made their way back to the Eastern Cape. They were then recaptured, and Dawit was returned to Robben Island now for a third time, and was imprisoned. And they made him witness they made him watch his compatriots who escaped with him and were recaptured being executed in front of him. And the only reason why his life was spared was because during the escape, he instructed the escapees not to murder the guy who was watching over the whaling boats. And as a result, compassion was granted to him, and he was not executed as such. But as was then said, him and Jan Chiput were put on a ship called the Brampton and shipped to Sydney in New South Wales, Australia, and as indented labor. They then worked for the government there as a government employees in the Hyde Park Barracks. In 1828, he was granted. Now, before that period, his wives and children had spoken to both Greenville and Tech Bannister to lobby for the release of their father, you know, and husband. And because he was an icon, he was a chief, to return to South Africa. And they tried their utmost, but it didn't work. And the unfortunate thing is that he was granted a ticket of leave in 1828, and in 1830 he in fact died. And the funny thing is this, he was buried the very next day. That's what the Australian media says in terms of the research. And we wonder why just the next day he was buried, you know. So that would be an issue of how to find his remains, would might become difficult in terms of where he's actually located. The one thing that bothered us in our whole process of research was that we got absolutely no cooperation from the Australian government whatsoever. We had spoken to a number of people at the embassy. We've written letters to them. We've even sent this book that the National Heritage Council commissioned. Actually, it was commissioned by the Khoi chiefs, but the National Heritage Council actually paid for it to be done. We even sent this book up to them. I spoke to some of them personally. We had absolutely no cooperation. And we're wondering why there's no cooperation from their side. And so the huge task that lies ahead for us is, as was said previously, is where do we find the remains? Where is the remains at this point in time? Can we find it? We need the cooperation of governments here in that aspect. And as I said, we've been involved for 10 years, and we've gotten actually nowhere whatsoever in that 10 years. Besides doing the research in the book, it is now that, as I maybe use the term, a fire has been lit, you know. Christian Martin, MPL, is largely responsible for that, making it known, so to speak, you know. And as a result of that, there's a lot of attention onto the project, and National Heritage Council have recognized this is an important project. And what we are feeling, of course, is that this body also recognizes this as a very important project to, in fact, put into perspective the role of one of the greatest freedom fighters of this country, Chief Dawit Steerman. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Honorable Shepherdson. Going on with the list of speakers, what Earl has mentioned, also the book will be made available to the honored members so that you can be able to go through the book entitled Dawit Steerman, The Revolutionary Vogue. And it's there. Another book, of course, that we found is this one, called The Return of Makanda, Exploring the Legend. And if you read the two books, they talk together, set up the history of Kosani and Xhosa, the people. And it's a very interesting, it's a very interesting book. Once you start it, you never finish it. In fact, you want to finish it same night. because it's very, I'm very curious about it. So, going on, thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. Of course, I didn't mention the fact that after the second phase of this now, it's a documentary on the two. So that you have got what is called docudrama, you know, of Makanda, but people can speak about him also, Dab Stirman, so that we have, you combine the manuscript as well as the audio visual, and then we hear people talking, and so that it's fascinating, and very imaginative. Now, going back to that Honorable Jefferson and other members, Errol has dealt, I think, very eloquently with that. Now, going back to the project itself, talking about the steering committee moving on with the project of repatriating the remains of Dab Stirman, Chief Dab Stirman. Mr. Denver will deal with previous experiences. Our meeting that ended this morning actually dealt with that and some of the experiences. And what he's going to present to you will be what is that. And he's also going to deal with the process, you know, also involved with this one. He just want to see that our task is not just going to be so difficult. And over to you, Mr. Denner.
I think members, I think the chairs are already closed. There's no one, we're not members sitting there? Dave, can you come to the side, you can just give him. I want all seven names. Thank you. Okay, thank you, Anonymous. Good job. Members, I'll just, just for the sake of time, because this is a very interesting history. If you want to see the first, you just walk swiftly. And actually, I think, Honorable Members, this is very enlightening right now, because as I was saying, that our history is not correctly written. You were always reading about, actually, when Errol was speaking, I was actually thinking that one of the issues that we never knew is people, the certain words that we use that are very insultive, like the words of the, to call a person a bushman, and to call a person a hottentot is insultive. And it's unfortunate, that is the history that we've been taught about the hottentot, about the bushman. And it's one of the issues, I think it's also an education element for us to move away from this thing. But I want to say before they speak, we really support this project. That's why we, as Arts and Culture Portfolio Committee, said that you must come here so that you can give us this history as well. And I'm not sure, are you aware that tomorrow is Makanda's repatriation? But those are some of the issues that I thought that we should raise, you know. But I think one of the most, you must start wearing this, you know. Because according to some customs, this is barbaric. You know, wearing animal skills is barbaric, and now we're used to what we're wearing. But I'm happy because we're becoming more enlightened about who is David Stirman. It's books now that his friends must write. As I said, we must no longer read about Jenny by train, you know, and you read about Napoleon. Napoleon is not my hero. I don't even know where France was looking and where he was moving. We read about Napoleon, we read about, who's the other one? General Rebecca, that's even worse. You read even about people who are the Europeans. The history, when I did history, it was segmented into the European history. You write an essay, then there's a South African history that ends with J.F. Malan. So you have to know everybody. There's nothing, but I think I'll give over to you right now just to tell us the most interesting part that we've been waiting for.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm going to be fairly brief because I think some of the issues have been touched on, but I'm going to sort of cluster my input around four issues. I want to touch on the international aspects of repatriation, as well as some of the political issues that arise from this, talk a little bit about stakeholder issues, and then talk about the technical administrative issues, because those can sometimes be what bog down the process. I think, and the experience I'm drawing on is I was privileged to be involved behind the scenes as the acting head of department with the Sport, Art and Culture and the Eastern Cape with the reburial of Sarah Bartman. But previous to that, I was also one of the people behind the scenes in 1997 already to push for the reburial of a Khoisan person, a mummified remains that had been in one of the museums. And we've also had other projects where we've exhumed and reburied people, including the prophetess Nondye Tabungu, who very few people know about, who was buried in Pretoria, and some of the MK cadres that have been, whose remains being brought from other countries. So there's sometimes a lot of technical issues around these, and if we're not aware of them, they begin to create problems of time frames and things like that. But with the reburial of Sarah Bartman in particular, you know, the issue started with being raised seriously by the Griqua National Council, and the French government, the French Institute Museum, did not take this seriously, just as we've heard now the Australians are not taking this seriously. And it was complicated further by the fact that there was, at the time, no international bilateral relations that covered this kind of issue between South Africa and France. And ultimately, what it took was an intervention, a political intervention at the highest level. And although I was not party to that, I was told that, in fact, President Mandela himself intervened directly with the French president. And because they were worried about the precedent that it would set, and that all these looted artifacts in their museums would be brought back and all the human remains would be something, a lot of fear that they didn't know how to handle. It required actually an act of parliament to create an exception for the remains of Sarah Bartman to be brought back. And a similar issue happened with the reburial of Klaas and Freud Pienaar, whose remains had been taken to a museum in Austria. But there it was a little bit different because the Austrians at least were more willing to engage on this issue, possibly based on the experience of Sarah Bartman. So the political intervention becomes quite critical because it's certainly two streams that feed into the process. There's the mobilization of the descendants and the community, but ultimately it's the political intervention. But more than that, it also becomes critical that, for example, what was then the Department of Foreign Affairs played a critical role through the embassies, the embassy in South Africa, the French embassy here, as well as the South African embassy in France, have a critical role to play to ensure that the repatriation happens. The other issue perhaps I should touch on, and I think it's already been alluded to, it's not only, I mean, when we look to the political leadership, yourselves in Parliament as well, to contribute to this process, because what became clear from the burial of Sarah Bartman is it was a wonderful opportunity for people to begin to discuss and unpack issues of identity and what it means to be a South African of Khoisan descent in South Africa, in that case in the 20th century. And I think I don't want to try and say things out of turn here, but I think there's a wonderful opportunity for the Portfolio Committee to initiate a national conversation on what it means to be Khoisan and to educate South Africans broadly around these issues. And for Khoisan people themselves to be able to even face, to articulate these issues so that we can begin to grapple with them. With regard to stakeholder involvement, I think the principle that we learned with the Sarah Bartman Ribeiro is that there needs to be consultation right from the start. There needs to be an inclusive process, it needs to be representative, and it needs to be as transparent. From the planning through to the implementation, to the time that the project is completed. Now, I think, again, I can pay tribute to the process that's been started here because I think people have learned that lesson and really already there's a process that is inclusive and it's bringing people together. What I think we also is very critical, if I may say this, is it's very important in terms of stakeholder relations that at all stages of the process, the Khoi and the San communities are given the opportunity to practice their religious or cultural rituals that are relevant to the burial. Now, with Sarah Bartman, there were a number of different rituals or religious practices, starting from when the human remains were brought to Cape Town, there was an enrobing ceremony. When the aeroplane brought the remains to Port Elizabeth, there was a ceremony with Imbepa and other things that were burnt and so on. And so all these rituals, because that is part of the process of rehumanizing the person who's been dehumanized by colonization. So I think that becomes an important stage and step that we have to allow space for Khoisan people. And I think last night at the meeting, there was consensus, I mean, on this issue, consensus on all these issues. With regard to the technical administrative issues around exhumation and repatriation, now, in the case of Sarah Bartman, This wasn't so much a challenge of identifying the remains, because people knew that she was in a particular museum, and therefore you could zoom in at that museum and say, please, we need to get the remains brought back. As already been alluded to here, with regard to the repatriation and reburial of Chief David Spearman, there's been a lot of research done, but there needs to be further research done to pinpoint the exact location of the grave. And that we mustn't underestimate the time that may take. It requires archival research. It will require the use of an archaeologist and a pathologist to do the exhumations, to locate the remains. Obviously, that's something that we would hopefully negotiate the assistance of the Australian government. We need, again, representatives to be present during that process and all of that in Australia. The second thing is, once you've located the remains, then there's the technical issues around exhumation, which need to also comply with certain legislation around Human Tissue Act and all of those issues. So there are technicalities around, you can't just dig up a human remains without following certain processes. The third aspect that we mustn't neglect also is the issue of identification. What we discovered with Nondeta Nkwenkwe, when we located the body at the cemetery at West Office in Pretoria, is that when we opened the grave, there were three bodies stacked one on top of the other. They'd been wrapped in blankets and just put three bodies one on top of the other. And fortunately, in that case, her great-grandson or grandson was a boxer, Vuyani Bumi. So we were able to take DNA from Vuyani and then test all three of the skeletons until we could identify which was the skeleton that belonged to her. Now the University of Pretoria has a forensic anthropology unit that does excellent work in this regard. They do a lot of work with the NPA, also identifying the remains of MK cadres that have been buried and so on. And so they're a specialist unit that we can also call in to assist us with this. With the identification, I would suggest that there may be two levels that we need to look at with the process of David Spearman. As has already been said here, it may be difficult to do specific DNA testing to say and find a descendant that is matching the DNA. I mean, if you're able to do that, that would be fantastic. But what we may require in this process is for the forensic scientists to be able to test the remains, and they will be able to determine that this is a person that, because of the diet and the minerals and things in the bones, came from Africa. And I think that would give you at least certainty that the skeleton is 99% likely to, because how many Africans are you going to find buried in a grave that the documents might say is there? Ultimately, if one is able to trace descendants and you're able to take DNA and confirm that it is David Spearman, I think that would be fantastic. But we need to also be aware that there may be some challenge around this. You might end up with a situation where you've got 90% certainty and hopefully then the descendants would be happy with that. There was a recent case in England where King Richard III, who had been killed in the Battle of Bosworth Field, had been buried somewhere anywhere, and afterwards they put a car park over it, and people didn't know that. But after a lot of research, they dug up the car park, and they found the skeleton. And the skeleton had wounds that were same as what had been reported he had suffered in the battle. And there was one person left who claimed descent from Richard III. And they tested the DNA and it matched. So they had the description matched, the wounds had matched, and then happened to get the DNA. But that was a slim chance. But again, I mean, the core understand people, the people directly involved, the stakeholders, would need to decide whether even if you do take DNA from the remains when they're recovered, that it's kept, and later on, if people want to test whether their DNA is the same, then that the opportunity is also there. Those are the issues that can be discussed. I think I touched on the issue of the legal process, the prescripts. I think the critical issue, is that as we discussed last night, at the moment it's the beginning process here, and as part of the process, this collective will debate very seriously what is the appropriate site for the dignified reburial of the remains. That in itself needs to be managed so it does not become a divisive issue, because we're looking at building unity and promoting social cohesion, nation building here. And what I would also suggest is that a very good thing happened, learning a lesson from the burial of Sarah Barman, and it is a tribute also to the Department of Arts and Culture, is the process didn't end with the burial of Sarah Barman and putting up a small memorial. It also went to the construction of a cultural center in her memory. Now, we need to be asking ourselves already at this stage, if I can put this in a corner so that it begins to budget for this, that we look at, say, after the reburial, what? Because we need some kind of living memorial, some sense or something that is going to be constructed in memory of David Sirman, that will become a living legacy for people to be able to contribute either specifically to economic development or social development. So it doesn't just end with the burial. It goes further as well. I don't want to be talking too long. I think that is emphasizes what has been said. This is a wonderful opportunity to contribute to a genuine national hero. You know, I happen to have been researching this period for every aspect, every way you look at this, he's a genuine South African national hero, and it gives us the opportunity to put into practice what we talk about in our policies in government about promoting social cohesion, promoting nation building, promoting reconciliation. And I'm very heartened to see already the level of cooperation here and involvement. I think this is really, we can teach the world something here. What South Africa, you know, when we talk to them, I mean, even with the reburial of Troy and Klaus, you know, the Austrians were going to put the remains, the bones, into a diplomat bag and send it here. And it was the intervention of the department that said, no, these are human beings. They must be brought back in a coffin. So as South Africans, based on the collective experience here, I think we have something we could teach the world about humanity, about what it means to be human, and how do you deal with these issues in a way that emphasizes their humanity. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Member. Those are the brief presentations.
Okay.
And going the way forward, Chair, going back, and also giving you the rate back, from the Regional Council. The process is on, but we recognize that there's many other stakeholders that actually have to be brought on board on the process itself. But at least we are satisfied about the cooperation, you know, at the moment, and then commitment to this project. And with those, taking the reins back to Chairperson and Honorable Chairperson of the committee. Again, very grateful for the opportunity that you have given on this particular issue. We didn't expect it, but I think it's going to give momentum to this campaign that we were involved in. And with an active committee, portfolio committee of this one, like this one, I think this process is going to be much more faster. We projected ourselves that when South Africa celebrates 20 years of freedom next year, it'll be good if this icon is brought back. So we've set ourselves the target is April next year. And now coming back, which is planning for backwards. And luckily also a great chairperson that there's a policy that we're developing in the Regional Council on reparation of heritage objects. And at least that policy, it gives us a picture of international experiences. And that policy it's a very important document that we have actually developed. It guides us as to what is it that needs to happen. And all the stakeholders were saying that it's important that much. When Martin raised the issue, Chairperson, that he also raised with you, he said that he's not going to grow his hair until Chief Davis Sterling comes back. In other words, he's not going to cut his hair. And he was saying that this young man, if he doesn't cut his hair for 2-3 years, it's going to be a problem. So it's important fasten this process, you know, of bringing back this hero, so that Christian Martin, who has apologized, this is faith from really something that it's not a palatable of having this growing indefinitely. So April coming back is actually the time where we are setting ourselves a clear process around this. And lastly, the portfolio committee, national debate on this issue is going to help once more to bring it to the public and global domain. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Monajua. Thank you for the presentation. I think now it's time for us as members of the Portfolio Committee to ask questions, but I want to make a few comments to say, firstly, we had to call NEC because we also wanted to understand. It's part of our nation building. That's why we called to be here. But you see, the reason that I always say that, and I hope our media will start writing positive on this, because this is part nation building. I only say our history as Africans is not correctly written. I was telling you right now, when I was reading about Bartholomew Diaz, then after Bartholomew Diaz Vasco da Gama, then the next is Christopher Columbus. The next thing, by that time you don't even have an idea of Lisbon, how it looks like. Is this Jan van Riebeeck? I know how Cape Town looks like. No. So I'm just saying now, One of the people I think that we need to honor as well, a person that is not talked about, it's a recent research that I've done. The Chris Barnard is a hero. He did the first transplant. But he was not alone. He had a black man by him. His name is Hamilton Nagy. No one speaks about him. He had no surgical skills. He had no formal education. But he assisted him during the transplant. And he was secretly entered into that surgical ward because of the apartheid laws. And no one speaks about these people. And it's our generation who must learn about these issues. Because even our history has not changed, you know. And some of our history must be told, some of the words, like I was saying, Bushman, are insulting words, you know. And our communities are not aware about it. But my first question, this time it's me, honorable members, because usually it's you. Okay, can I know this? I think all of you would. Okay, honorable Tapano, honorable Mashwana, honorable Okay. Then Nikki will go first. And then one of them, let me tell you, hand up. My first question would be, what is the role of the department, Mr. Ndima, on this? Because it's very important for us, the department. But secondly, what I want to raise, in the lineage part, is there anyone who has came to say David Stearman was my family? I know, is there anyone on when we started this process, Mr. Lefren, who has came and said we are part of the family? But for the fact that Saul Plaatje spoke about, this man, that means you're a great hero, you know. I want to check what is... Your role now with the national government. Who have you lobbied, especially the presidency, your international relations? Are they coming on board? Because as you're saying that the Australian government, I think this is my personal opinion. Some of these people who have taken our own people don't want to be embarrassed, because it would be embarrassment, obviously, for that country. For what they've done, it was a shame. So it might be one of the issues that we have to do. But sadly, at what level of education... Some people are not literate. It's a reality in South Africa. They are not aware about what is happening. Some of the newspapers are not interested, because if you read papers, it's the same story covered over and over again, corruption, instead of getting some of these popular stories. I was deployed mostly in the Northern Cape. There are places like Mir. People like Mir, I don't think they would know, except maybe if the communities of the Basin Council would go there. Because I've been there, I've stayed with those people, all they do, they love their Christian culture. Some of them were saying, don't bring some of the teachers, because they will teach our children the Western style of it. We are trying our best as a Khoisan nation to preserve our culture. So those are some of the issues that I want to raise. Mr. Erlein, what is the way forward? I don't know if you just said, but I think it will be one of the questions now with together, what is the way forward? Denver, on what you have raised, what is the support from other state institutions? Because you spoke out pathologists about sexual skills and everything. Mr. Jordan, I'm told you heard the political, I'm not sure that I'm correct, the political angle of it. How far have you lobbied politically? Because it becomes important, especially if all parties would also support this, because I think this is a very important initiative. Yes, it is an emotional issue, and I believe that... Anyway, there's no one from Cocteau here to say that other tribes well should support this. We as a committee are supporting it, not as you said. That's why we called you, said, come and tell us about this, because we promise you, in this particular committee, Ms. Moss, is on most of the different topics, one of the issues that we've requested is to have a debate in Parliament about the question, Chief David Stearman. Not only him, but even now, King Makanda is repatriated tomorrow, and nothing that has been said already. So, but I believe those are the issues that we should be raising. Okay, thank you. Leave Nikki, because I don't want to fight with you. You will be the first one. Is that the minister? Yes. Does the imams have the copy? Okay, Honorable Tapane, Honorable Mushwana, Honorable Van Skalbeek, Honorable Namita Shilvana, Because Nick, even Nikki wanted to be last. Okay then. Okay, Honorable Chairman.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman. Gentlemen, I must just commend you. This is really what we are, the heritage. This is our being. You know, it needs a person who is as enthusiastic as you are. If, no matter what people can do, if a person in your position is realistic about this heritage, it will be just like hitting the wall. Thank you so much. I really commend you for this job you are doing, together with your team. You know, my first question was to ask, at what stage, so you answered that question. So what I just recommend now, besides giving this certificate funeral, he decides, you know, with us, Africans, the remains of our forefathers, it is very important where we put them. So I am saying that is also another reason we want to repatriate this, the remains of Chief David German. To the citizens of the council, you know, I am serving I am serving in the Committee of Rural Development. You know, no matter how this matter of opening the leg lane beyond 1913, no matter how much my attention, it has been demanded. And I can assure you, the Department of Development is taking very seriously. They are on it, so it's going to happen. Two citizens of the South End Museum. You know, as we have said, that you are having a problem with the cooperation from the Australian government. You know, it is really a pity because I don't hear the mention of the British government here. We are in this mess now. We are in this mess now because of British government. You know, this person is as important as Queen Elizabeth is to them. So I don't know, but what about the British government? Because I believe if the Australian government can cooperate, you know, even before the Africans were enlightened, we didn't have documents, but we had marks where we put the remains of our people. So it is really now unbelievable. They can say they don't have the documents now that, which can say where was Chief David Zeman was buried. I don't believe. If they can cooperate and take this thing serious, I believe this remains can be found. To the last presenter, Mr. Webb, as you have said that political intervention is very important, I believe, Honorable Chairperson, that both committees, Rural Development and Culture, they must also take, I think we need to have a joint meeting about this, Honorable Chairperson. I believe our committee and Culture must have a joint meeting about this thing. I also, as I said, I commend you for the work you're doing. No matter how difficult the task is, you have to exert all the efforts to bring him back home. Because, as I said, really, it is very important for, it's very important for us as Africans to know where it remains, especially the leader who was respected, the leader of the nation, as Chief David Gilman. You know, it's touching how his life was ended. It is really touching. So that is why I'm saying the British government must be involved in this thing, because when this mess, because of the British government. This thing now reminds me, out of record, Honorable Chairperson, in this committee we once talked about the statue of Mandela in Parliament. We have revisited that. These our heroes once spoke in this committee about the strike of Mandela in this Parliament. We have to take that seriously. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Now you've made my day.
I know this. Please try and get this closer. I know it's not like the other. Oh, okay.
It will mean me coming closer to him.
Yeah, no. I'm not there.
I thank you, Chairperson.
I'm told when the ink goes there, people must behave.
Yeah, and by the ink of the here, in our language, we are not like to hold it. So I can't go for my finger to hold it. But then, I see this ink, I was chatting with my neighbor. Ink, epic, ink. Unity. Yeah. Unity, I see, when we read it, unity in diversity. It's a good thing. But you see, we need to revisit what we've done today, was revisit history, and to rewrite it correctly. Because we cannot keep on like, you know there's a story in Sharan of a king who eats honey. It was famine, and there was no food. So this king put honey under the soil and called the kids to say, hey, you must bless hands and say, Satana Ujankuma, meaning daddy is eating ashes. There were a lot of ashes there, and there was a seed going into the real honey. And these poor kids were exclaiming, Satana Ujankuma, and this man was eating. This man was eating. I understand that this country comes from far away, and we had a lot of diverse, and we want to unite during this, but we can't do this at our own expense, all of us here. When you walk into this parliament, like you said, that was the only question I wanted to ask. And I don't usually come with examples, but I had to. Because as you approach parliament, there is a stage which standing there. Hey. It's like that team, they said there's a team that beat, meaning it beat Orlando Pirates. We don't want to go to the name. But there is a statue that is, it's different from what we're talking. I mean, after 18 years, we were talking of changing, rewriting history. But somebody who comes to this country and says South Africa has changed, and still see the statue there, to me, I think it's not correct. Then my question is, what is the... what's the role of the NHC, the National Heritage Council? Because there are people who are correctly placed to lead. And you know, I want to put it to you that I think you are placed correctly to lead. So that we don't seem like as parliamentarians today we're different parties, like it was said here. So it's like that everybody will come with their own. We are saying this country was fought for, and we know the role that Mandela in particular place. It would be very much good for anyone coming from abroad to see just to give an example, I'm not saying he's the only one. I know media was looking at me while I was going into this. This is technology, my notes, I put them here. The history of the Khoisan, which came with Mr. Cecil, if that's correct, it's very important that we want to humbly ask you to make sure that people are informed. Because now that I'm informed, I'm going to make a lot of noise that something must happen in the end. People must be informed. So that we change this country, it must not be a story written on paper. When we walk, you see, we have scars. The scars of history are some, like, or some of these issues that we see. Those are the scars, bad scars. When I get hurt, I try to cover. Women in the morning, they put on something to cover. We don't want to see the scars. Those are the scars that we see as we enter this parliament. And it's not only in this parliament, it's all over South Africa. And my question for the second time, the NHC must succeed. We need this country to change in words and deeds. We cannot continue to say we are going to change South Africa and people think we are very peaceful. Tell us there's a difference between being peaceful. It's not correct. Such that we cannot accommodate having statues that remind us of the pain that we've gone through as a country. I pause.
Thank you, Honorable Fantastic.
Thank you, Chair. As a member of this committee, we do promote multilingualism. We saw that yesterday as well, and for that reason, Chairperson, I'm going to address our guests here in Afrikaans.
Why, thank you. Before you do that, who's going to translate for us? In English. Speak in Afrikaans and then translate one.
Baie dankie, voorzitter. Nee, ek gaan nie ingewikkelde woorde gebruik nie, so ek dink almal gaan verstaan. Ek stem saam met wat my collega's reeds gesê het, en ek gaan nie herhaal wat hulle gesê het nie, omdat ons tyd is bietjie beperk. Ek wil net sê dat ek verskriklik bevoorreg voel om vandag deel van hierdie vergadering te wees. Jy weet, as kind het ek die kooi en die sand se geskiedenis geleer, maar natuurlik nie volledig nie. So ek het groot geword met die wete dat dit die eerste mense in ons land was. Ek het dit geweet, dit was nie vir my nie. As die voorsitter praat van die geskiedenis wat volledig geskryf moet word, dan stem ek 100% daarmee saam. Elke inwoner van hierdie land is Suid-Afrikaner, en ons almal se geskiedenis moet vervat word in ons land se geskiedenis. Ek wil tog 'n woord van waarskuwing rig, dat die fout wat ons in die vorige bedeling gemaak het, dat net een groep se geskiedenis as het ware opgeteken is, dat ons dit nie nou omdraak en sê julle het nou julle geskiedenis gehad, nou is dit ons beurt nie. Ek dink nie dit is wat ons moet doen. En ek wil tog waarskuwing, jy weet, om geskiedenis te skryf is om te interpreteer. Dit is 'n feit. En ek dink ons moet ons wend tot objektiewe geskiedskrywing, maar dis baie noodsaaklik dat ons almal se geskiedenis in ons land se geskiedenis opgeteken moet staan. Voorsitter, ja, ek dink dit is waar ek moet ophou, want anders gaan ek net sê wat die ander gesê het. Ons komitee is werklik gedetermineer om nasiebou en sosiale samehorigheid te bevorder. Dit is so. Ons het gister het ons gesit met die kort lysting van raadslede van die Suid-Afrikaanse Pan-Afrikaanse Taalraad. En daar het ons uit ons pad uitgegaan om ons hele volk se tale en die diversiteit, eenheid in verskeidenheid wat ons net al gaan gehoor het, om dit te weerspieël. En ons is van plan om dit regtig eens uit te neem. En wat hierdie spesifieke projek betref, gaan ek baie beslis my volle samewerking gee in die komitee, wat die voorsitter reeds aangedui het, dat ons dit gaan ondersteun. Ek dink dit is verskriklik nodig dat hierdie projek suksesvol afgehandel sal word. Baie dankie, voorsitter.
Dankie,
agterlees.
Ramnam Tervane.
Thank you, Chef.
You know, now it's now you can see that we come from a homeland history. For those who were in the former Transkei and Suskei are clueless. It's Mr. Mkiva, Mr. Manojwa, all those who studied in the homeland of Transkei. There was no Africans in Transkei. So, okay, I'll interpret later. Okay. I don't know, Mr. Shavlana.
For me, so I got it.
Oh, you got it. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, okay.
Thank you, Shell. They can be so kind as to interpret. To those who come from the homeland. I also come from the homeland of the old Gazan Corner School. Thank you, Shell. I think the very first thing is just to say I think I've learned a lot today from the briefing about the Khoisan, the Khoikhoi, and whatever. That was very, very informative to me. And secondly, also to honor and give my praise to the Amakosi. I just got a note here from the honorable member here that why do you say not chiefs? You know, in 1996 when I adopted the constitution, in this parliament, we said the word chief comes from those people who colonized us. Because we had a chief mechanic, a chief head cook, and chief what have you. So we said we are not going to call any traditional leader a chief. You can look at your two. Go to a language and you don't want to call yourself king. Get your language in your culture and call yourself a traditional leader in your language. But the Inkosi, Ivosi, Kimurena, that's what you adopted in this parliament. And this chiefdom should not, you know, it's a thing that they were undermining us. And they thought we'd just hang a chief, so we are not. Let me just come to what I want to say. I have the chief executive officer saying that this project, if it were possible, the time frame would be when we celebrate our 20th anniversary as South Africa. But I'm looking at the stakeholders here, whether we will be able to gallop and be able to reach it, the time frame that we've given ourselves. Here now is the Department of Arts and Culture, but it's got the Department of Defense and Military Veterans, Office of the Premier, Eastern Cape. I saw somewhere that you have met with the people from the Eastern Cape province. The Navy, here we are, Department of Culture. We have got COCTA, where are they? They are a serious stakeholder here. Sports and Culture Recreation, Eastern Cape. SARA, the NSC is here. Nelson Mandela Metro, I read here that you have been with them. And Robben Island Museum Council. These are very, very important stakeholders that I think we need to, if we can, try and bring them together and make this project a priority. So that when we say we want to see it happening next year, we mustn't come and sit here and say, no, we're extending it. We can make it happen. Just like what my colleagues were saying about the Nelson Mandela statue. I think the chairperson, we as a committee would like that to write a letter to the department and say to them, we want the Mandela statue to be complete while he's still alive, when we celebrate the 20th anniversary of our democracy. Because if we keep on postponing it, maybe if we put it in black and white, the department will see that we are very, very serious about it in the presence of everybody here. Just like the project that wants to see it happening. And also I want to say to our traditional leaders that, you know, people look down upon our culture. They think when you put on like the dress that you are barbaric. That is our culture. We have to be proud about it and know who we are, because we are either Western or are we where we are. So I just want to congratulate you in your skins and say that you are what you are. You portray the traditional leadership that you have in you, and just keep it up. And lastly, I want to comment about the National Traditional Bill that you have mentioned, that it is not taken off the ground. I'm not sure how this was developed, whether this was discussed with the National House of Traditional Leaders. Why from 2011, 2012, this is 2013, and nothing is happening? We as a committee, well, but the people who should be helping you is the National House of Traditional Leaders. We can only support them so that we see this bill, you know, getting through. Because this bill will be a breakthrough in getting you into, you know, the house of the traditional leaders as South Africans. You have been deprived of your land. It's now that you have to be anything that has been taken from you to make you to be restored dignity should be restored in time. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Nonten Shulwana. Given the case, it's passages of the last interview. Okay, let's not fight, members of parliament. These other two now are...
I bear on to the Greek one.
But okay, because of critic, okay, let me quickly interpret what Honorable Fantau said. She said she agrees with me that our history must be rewritten. She knew about the cohesion as a child, but must be careful that as we transform, we must not make the mistake of wiping everything that is from the past and removing everything that is from the past, promoting only this present history. And then we must keep unity, and we should promote nation building. And she said she gives her support to the successful completion of the project. Did I interpret Africans well?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you to Bantu Education. Okay. Thanks to Bantu Education. I want us to be very clear on this. I know this State of Mandela issue. I'm the one who raised it in the debate in Parliament. And I want to be clear on this portfolio committee. My intention is not to wipe any history. But this is a democratic parliament. It doesn't speak, that statue to me doesn't speak to all of us. You know, there's nothing wrong about Louis Botha Zulu's last name because he removed Dingane from prison. You know that history. So that's all. But I'm just saying, honorable members, even those who are, when let us enter a parliament that is democratic, that's not offensive. You know, if we had a statue of Nelson Mandela, he's a man who brought this, he's a man who stood and said, no war, no guerrilla activities, nothing, let's have peace. It's time for us to give this man an honor in as a first democratic parliament. We'll never take that statue of Louis Botha because it's part of the history and throw it away. I was saying, let's put it next to Queen Elizabeth, and then one person was saying to me, no, they hated each other, they would fight them back there. I think on this one, I want us to just, we'll never wipe our history. That's why, if you remember, when I was on Saturday, I'm not sure that you were with us, and then I was saying, why is the route not interesting finish? That speaks to Africans on the Battle of Black River. I'm the one who was raising it, so that our generation must know that, okay, Africans were defeated here, but it becomes important to us. But I'm saying, let's remember some of the history. It is still offensive, let's be honest. If you drive Northern Cape, there are places like Busman's Corp, Kafur Funding, and all those things. I mean, let's not shy away. Those are very offensive. You cannot say that is history. You know, there are some things really that are... Unfortunately, the head of the rate of Pretoria has fallen. No one took it away. But I'm just saying some of the things, we are very cautious. I think it's one of the issues that even in the ANC was raised that let's not divide the nation by removing. It was said by the ANC not to remove every history, but in that history, let's also be accommodated as well, you know. I've driven through the Northern Cape. There's nothing that speaks about Khoisan there, unless I'm wrong. I've driven all those routes too. I've been to Mir, to what's that one at the end of the sea, the port, but no loss. There's nothing. Even in the issue of Pansalp, we have faced a board. Anyway, we can't divide our secrets here. Because I'm the first one to say, where are the Khoisan people? Why are they not applying? I think one of the issues that will be completed now is the Khoisan dictionary, more than any other dictionary, because we want to preserve our... I'm just saying that when we raise the issue of the statue of Mandela, I am one of those who's pushing for it very, very hard. Fortunately, I spoke to my two friends whom I thought were hostile, the two brothers from Rakontein, the Mellors. Fine, but what are you going to do now? I said, no, I'll find him a space somewhere in Parliament, don't worry. You know. But I'm just saying, let it be a debate that this committee must take, because we are the committee that speaks about transformation. That's why we said this leadership must come here. Because you are not part of the... Oh, by the way, you are not part of the program. But when this issue was raised, we said that must step aside. I just want to raise something quickly. I know Livy will be... I know District 6 is here. I think she's here to protest as well. But she can't climb on top of our table. District is 6. That's a very important district. But now she's saying that they have no funding. It's saying, okay, the Independence Museum. It speaks about the slave history, the Khoisan history, the Jewish immigration, the South African apartheid, and the land issues. So I thought also, I must just put it in passing, because I think coming up the Khoisan leader here has raised many issues. So, Liva Nikki, I don't want to fight with you because I love you so much, you know, and so this is your chance to speak.
Thank you, Jefferson, and I will say it in the committee, I also love you. You're a beautiful young child. Jefferson, it's very important what you said about Madiba, but let's keep our direction now. It's all about Dawid Stuurman now, because we are talking, taking a new direction. But I think what I've listened to today, and I just want to say a sentence in Afrikaans. Ek wil my broers vandag dankie sê, dat hulle vir my hierdie wonderlike verhaal kom vertel het van Dawid Stuurman. Dis verhaal wat ek nie geken het nie. En so is daar wonderlike verhale in die geskiedenis van Suid-Afrika wat nog nie gehoor is nie. Dankie dat julle dit kom doen het. En ek wil vandag eindelijk, ek voel eindelijk skaam, dat my voorvaders nie gesorg het, dat al hierdie verhale vertel is nie. Want dit laat een leemte in my leven, dat ek dit nie geken het nie. Maar het is nooit te oud, mens is nooit te oud om het te leer nie. And I also want to add to that person, it's very, I'm in an honorable position to be part of this committee. Because it's enriching every day of my life. You know, when we went to the graves of Chief Dube and Chief Letuli, I can't tell you and I can't tell the Khoisan people what did it do to my vision and my belief of people of South Africa. It changed a lot. Because I was not in the position to read all these things because it was taken away of us. So I'm very honest, the history of South Africa could have been very different if we approached something different. But that is gone. The water is gone and we can't change anything about it. But what is very important, I think we've touched on it, is that we are busy with this national cohesion, nation building, but we must all remember this is a journey. You know, 20 years in the history of a country is very, very short. But at least we have moved in a certain direction. And I want to tell the Khoisan people today that from the DA side, I am 100% in this whole thing. And I will say everything positive I can to my caucus about this. And we must support everything that can work in the direction of national cohesion. And that we must learn the history of each other in this country. So the fact that I've got my Afrikaner history doesn't make me worse than I am, but I'm learning more and more of the people. I just want to say, Chairperson, I've got a very, very special relationship with all the Afrikaans-speaking people in this, because they listened to me over many, many years on radio when I did my program, ZV. So we actually know them many, many, many moons.
Family.
Yeah, we're family, yeah, and I greet them every day. And I even did my program at Vlakfontein with the Who and the Queer people. I love them, they're wonderful. But leave it there. I just want to caution about one thing. No one must claim victory in the story. Please. I can see there's a bit of tension because there's a lot of people involved in this whole issue. And then it is a complex issue in itself. We've got customs and the cultural customs. We've got local and international law and diplomacy, everything. And then we've got the people that have to work together. And I caution that, please, I will work as hard as I can to make this David Stuurman project a success. I don't want to claim any victory for the Democratic Alliance. I want to claim victory for the people that it matters the most. That's the whole issue. And I want you all, the department, the National Health Council, no one. If anyone is a bit bossy in this process, let this committee know if you are not satisfied. Because we will crush you. Immediately. We can because we are Parliament and we are the representatives of the Republic of South Africa's people. I'm very sorry, Chairperson, that we are on board so late. I would have loved you to be involved in this whole process many, many earlier. But great success, and I want to plead, work together and strengthen each other so that we can make a very, very a good success of this David Stuurman project. And you know, if you go back to semantics, and I'm going to say this in Afrikaans, the betekenis van Stuurman, that's what I belangrijk. Stuurman is a man wat stuur, wat die skip in die rechte rotting stuur. En kom sien David Stuurman ook as a man wat in die verlede gestuur het, hy het die visie gehad, hy wou nie onderwerp word nie, en ek het nou nog iets van Hans Vosso wat hom so geslaat het, as ek hom in die handen kyk, dan trek sy haar uit sy kop uit. Maar in elk geval, So sien David Stuurman as die verlede, hy was 'n rebel wat nie onderwerpe word aan enige gesag van iemand nie. Maar nou het ons vir David Stuurman, en kom ons sê in gees, gaan hy ons help om hierdie story van hom te stuur, doordat David Stuurman die korrekte en geagte plek in ons geskiedenis inneem wat hy veronderstel is om te hê. Ek dank u, voorzitter.
Thank you, honorable member. You know, members, you speak about being African and how we dress. Members of the sport local media are not truthful. Last year when I had the budget vote, I said, as an African, a girl like me, when you don't have children, you are still a girl, so you can walk. I said to them, I will walk Mr. Noja with my dress outside. I'm African. And just close the certain private parts. They say people say, no. What are people going to say? And I said, but according to customs, I'm a girl who doesn't have children, so I must walk like that and display. I said, so that means really I can do it. you've just said, why none of them shall be gentlemen and spoke? You didn't say anything. So now I'm saying, by the way, our budget vote is based on the 16th. So I can only close certain parts and then leave my dress outside. I'm very sorry because even if I'm wrong, I'm corrected here by the code side. The photos that we've always seen of the Bushmen, they hardly wearing something. So why can't you walk like that? No, I'm raising this with just issues. I think you are being entertained, but I'm just raising it. I've watched that movie. What is it? It was a famous movie. The one actor just died. The police an actor. God must be crazy. People are not wearing anything there. So I think something Mr. Manoja that we need to raise now, because really, you know, I raised the debate that if we Africans wore our own clothes, our economy would go up. We were in China with it together. The Chinese are wearing their own clothes. Some of the Jordan people are saying, no, but listen to what are people going to say? I'm saying in the olden days, what did people say? Because they can see the difference, like, and there was no race. Okay, just think about it. Why am I prepared to wear my... It's very much, much cheaper, you know. First of all, let's have this program for you. Actually, you're also wearing it wrong, because you're not supposed to wear this. Okay. Okay, we'll allow you when we answer. Okay, I will distribute these are copies that have been made of all the history of Kosachi. They were wearing blankets. Now what is barbaric without wearing blankets? Tomorrow I'm coming wearing blankets. Okay, and about the next
Thanks, Chairperson. Kanga ngendlela endiye ndoneliseka ngayo okokuba ndifumane ingxelo namhlanje egcwele kangaka ngala makhoyisa ekudala kuqokwa ngawo etuze zingekhoyo. Ndiyavuya ke ukuba ndiyifumane le ngxelo. Ndingenza ukuba ndivuyisane nezinto ezijele zapha njengerumors esendizibona zivela ukuba bafuna ukuba kubekho into endingayikhuthaza ekuthiwa yi-Congress of the Khoisan. Loo nto ayikho official kodwa ndiyayivikhona nje and ndingayisapota loo nto. Nantsi ke into endifuna ukubeka ngandizuthetha into ndithi uba sezichazwe ngokubanzi izinto ezibalulekileyo. Ndizawuqala ngale ndawo ukuba ahlekazi ucinezelo oyena ziva licinezelwe ngalo njengabaninzi yinto ebalulekileyo kukuqinisekisa uba ndimkhonda kakuhle utshaba uba lo luphi
ukwenzela uba wazi uma kweyiphi ikona. Ibalulekile loo nto ngoba uthaba alufani nakuqala. Uthaba namhlanje luyasimayila, luyahleka nawe, luthetha nawe. Kuqala ke benidudulwa nisuswe ezindaweni zenu nivale ematyeni kungekho nezo ngxaki. Ndiyathanda ukuba ndiyiqonde into yokokuba iyintoni ngokwakuni i-level ye-public participation kurhulumente okhoyo kweli lizwe apha kwii-institutions zikarhulumente ukuba ngaba ikhona. And awuyivila loo nto uba ndiyive uba injani okanye kungabe kukhona imeya noba yikhansela noba ukhona oparticipeytayo phaa kwi-legislature nasepalamente apha singabe sinaye noba ibile yaba ngumbono omhle ke ndiyayivumela ke idemokrasi uba mayithathe indawo yayo kodwa ke noko ibibhetelana into enjani uba ibinokwenzeka. Okwesibini kukuba njengokuba kucaca kakuhle indlela yokucommunicaitha ngokubanzi apha kwesi sizwe samakhoyisana kwakusetyenziswa among other things indlela yokubhala ematyeni. Indawo endake ndayibona ke ngoku kuyasasesaphuma kwinto ezizwa ngo-oversight ndandingava kakuhle ndise ndizijongile izinto kodwa ke lulwimi olu and olu lwimi kungabe kukhona indlela nina enizibonayo ezisekelezela ekuthini noko lusetyenziswe olu lwimi. Ndiyayiunderstand iprocess yamalwimi wonke kukambalwa apho ndive khona ngolu kodwa ingabi khona into enikhonvinsayo uba ngenye imini olu lwimi luzaba yinxalenye yala malwimi kuba kaloku sizwe isi. Nanti ke enye indawana kukuba njengoba kubonake yokugqibela la kukuba njengoba kubonaka njengoba niyakutsho ukuba kucace kakuhle ngokwakuni ukuba nini abantu bokuqala apha and noko loo nto yaye yenza ukuthi bandiwe nini ubuyana kwezinye iindawo ukuspreada ke ngolunyulweni zingaba zeziphi indlela ezazisetyenziswa commonly zokuhamba traveling. Ndiyayicinga nokuba izinyawo zakhe zedlula ukuba namasa ngoba ziindawana ezithe xaxe ezinade nanaba nafika kuzo. Ibalulekile loo nto abakum andazi wakum hashi kakuntoni na ndazi wakho intoni engenye andifuna uthetha loke kodwa ingumdla kum ukuba ndiyive loo nto.
Linda, can you speak out, interpret? Just raise your interpret.
Hi, thank you, co-sisters. Ik ga niet lang wees nie. Morgen gaan ons een vergadering bijwoon wat de samige deel is deel die komitee van Rural Development and Land Reform. And that is about the Centenary of the Native Act of 1913. And there was issues raised by the invitees where they raised issues about the land and the land reform before 1913. And that was the opportunity for this portfolio come. I know that NHC has been invited also for tomorrow's meeting. And it's where we must iron out. Not iron out so much, but raise the issue of the raising. I think it's the work of Parliament Committee. And some of them, they say that we must help them to put these issues very high up there. Because we have political centers here. If people like it or not, but it is so. Okay, I want also to make use of this opportunity to raise that as the committee, we visit those areas who has been mentioned by the presentation of yours in the coast. The Kwaku, the one of Cedar Park, we visit the Koi sand art in the rock art in that area. But I actually want to follow this logo of yours. Nothing without us. Nothing with us without us. And no more talk shows. I think the people in South Africa are fed up with talk shows. They want action, implementation. And I also want to say, I didn't see you throw a stone in this time of democracy or burning tires like those other communities do. You do your thing very professional. Very professional without public violence. And this is the way that we must do things, because the Constitution is protecting every citizen in South Africa. But there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong to do it professionally, as you're saying, to recommend the minister who made that commitment, because the Constitution is protecting you. If the minister was making a commitment and saying, we will make sure so here, that will be happening. We as parliamentarians, we're saying, if an entity come to tell us, they will do ABC, and the next year, the ABC didn't happen, and we said, you must let parliament. Because why? Because you say, on writing, but also in your presentation, you will do ABC. And that person must be taken accountable for this. But I want to salute our president when they launched the naming of that boat. For me, it was a very important point, because it's where he showed the coherence of people that he is serious to taking your people on board. And for me, after, I don't know who's the gentleman who walk with the people who is translate for him to come to parliament, where he said, I want to see the president, Thabo Mbeki. And he made a point. And he wait till Thabo Mbeki come to address him on the issues that they want to raise with President Thabo Mbeki. So, for me, I'm very proud of Chairperson. I must say that. Although you said Linda's happy because the people is here, I think this issue is long overdue. And say, half of tomorrow's meeting, we as this portfolio committee, on the request made by the invitees, that we as Arts and Culture Committee must call by OCRs a joint portfolio committee. A joint portfolio committee where we invite Home Affairs. We invite Home Affairs, we invite COPTA, we invite tourism, because there is no end in reform. There's no way that we are always be led by other portfolio committees. And we take these things, all those projects, who must maybe be highlighted before we finish with our term, because next year's election, our term will finish. At least we can actually leave some work for those who come to take over, but at least we take it some way where they just can take over. But I'm not saying that nothing for us without us, South Africa will not move. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Can I just repeat what Mr. Chukala was saying? I am sorry, now he wants me to interpret this clause. I will try my best. He says, it is... I can't imagine now. He says now the way I am so pleased about you, Kasen, being here, it and telling the truth, because most of the times the stories have been told untruth. You know, the reality of the truth of the Kasen people has never been told in the history of South Africa. But he says he'll be happy if there will be a Congress of the Kasen. Anyways, from COPE, so anything that is called Congress will be excited. That's why he's saying that there'll be a Congress of the Kasen, and that He says a lot has been said about your impression. Your impression is very important to us, because a lot has not been written about it, you know. But you also must be careful about your enemy, because the enemy now is no longer passing you off. The enemy is smiling with you. So must be careful and not think that everybody will see you, but they're still your enemy, but they will just use you on some issues. And
one of the issues that is saying that how far is the level of participation, especially public participation, and all the government institutions, you know, as mayors, legislation, as legislators, and because that is part of the democracy. He says also he was there. Actually, you must commend me. I initiated that you go and see those writings, although I became sick when you went to those places of the quarry. He said he saw the writing on the rocks and the languages. No. Do you see this language spoken as a Khoisan people? Because it becomes very, very important to speak it, be legislated as well. And that's because it is, you are a nation. You are not a group. You are a nation. So your language must be spoken. And how far have you convinced? Because the Khoisan people is a nation. So this language must also be, you must be, not speak Africans. You must speak your languages as well. And you are the first in South Africa, the first nation. And then, but he's interested whether you were working with feet or you were working on horses. I don't know why he's raising that one. But now, I think members have discussed their questions now. We hand over to the side of the house. But I just want to say that on the issue of the bill that was raised, after this meeting, I will definitely speak to the chairman of the portfolio committee on COPTA. Because it a bill when it has been tabled, I mean really, maybe we do ours in 6 months, they know us. So I'm just saying that I will raise this issue if there are challenges, because people must be told what is really happening about this bill that has been raised. It's an issue that I will take it with Ms. Chowekokta, who is chairing the portfolio committee. Now, I'm not sure whether it's lunch time now. The last time I checked, some people had high blood and sugar. I'm fine. So, not sure whether people want to break for lunch or we just continue until we finish. Let's just finish. Okay. Okay, now we'll change the slide to pay extra. What we can say is that as long as you account, can we allow now the side of the house to the Khoisan NEC, the department. But when you answer, it doesn't limit you to the leader only or certain person, anyone who wants to answer. But obviously we'll start with the leader. We'll give over to you, Mr. Manoj. And Mr. Ndima, your question is still on the table.
Thank you, person. For such informative and educative comments and questions. First of all, one of the inquiries from the Khoisan prince wants to address the committee, or is requesting to address the committee in his own language. And of course, there will be a translation immediately. And I'll end up to you.
Chairperson, mine is that message to the portfolio committee. Tingate, ngwe tankara tom. Ke mjaba ma. Ke hinu, ke kumku, ngwe te kano kutensike. Te kriyete, demokratis. Te kriyete, hi te tuit arete. Arat miyete no. Dem yung kaka ngite nyi kwena te mogo uwe tse 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 mki san cha kwe yata kwa umko cha kwa u cha kwe cha san kya wes adek wel tse u sin in the coat of arms olifant wuren kwuren that's a book that's a drum. En als we het nu vandaag met die portefeuille committee zetten, die mensen gaan voor ons vragen, zoals rechter, voorzitter, dat wat gaan die witte mensen, de publiek, voor ons vragen? Wat heeft ons besluit genomen? Hoe heeft ons besluit genomen? Waar heeft ons nou die bespreking beëindigd? Daarom, als we hier iets zeggen, zoals je nou recht zegt, dit wordt opgenomen. Zo, je moet niet om zeggen, ik heb niet dit gezegd. Maar als mensen zien dit, als je zien, dan stuffen je. Je dag gaat voor je radio, dan vragen voor jou. Wat heb je die dag gezegd? Vertel voor mij. Dan draai je hier om en zeg, hey, wat is zo? En wat in je lage hok. Ik monitor jou. Wat ik wil gezegd. Dank je, Chappers.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Nima will immediately answer the question, then I will then take other questions as well. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think the question that the Chairperson has asked me is what the role of the department is going to be. But maybe to say that I wouldn't want to preempt the decision of the minister who would then make that determination. But I want to say that I have been privileged, Chairperson, to be part of the meeting yesterday night. I'm part of the team that actually sat up until this morning in preparation for this meeting. And I also want to acknowledge the very good work that has been done by the various stakeholders that have been part of the discussion, but also the role that has been played by the National Heritage Council in facilitating, you know, the discussions that have happened so far. And just to say that we'll continue to support the National Heritage Council as our associated institution. But Chairperson, at some point, I think that there should be some kind of a formal submission that should come to the minister as a comprehensive document, which clearly outlines the kind of interventions that would be expected from the minister. As you would recall in the discussions now, Chairperson, that various commentators have clearly indicated there has been various attempts to talk with the Australian government about this matter without any success. And what it means is therefore that maybe at some stage you might want to have some kind of government-to-government interaction, and maybe it might unlock some of the challenges that we are confronted with. And of course, if that particular submission is actually made to the minister, depending on the nature of the interventions that are actually required, there could be a situation where some of the matters are actually brought to the attention of the International Relations Department, the Department of International Relations, because of the government-to-government relations that could determine, you know, the breakthrough that is required by the different stakeholders here. So that's all that I can say, Chairperson, to say that I do not want to preempt or arrogate to myself the role of, you know, the decisions that the minister will take, but I think that that decision will be facilitated by a comprehensive submission to the minister, and you will therefore be able to take a decision. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, and thank you so much, Lenetia, for that as well. Now, on the role of international relations, as has been asked by the Honorable Chairperson, as we already indicated, that the process now has been formalized with the constitution of the steering committee. Already, we have written to the International Relations Department, DECO, more especially the directorate where Australia falls, and there is going to be a meeting, or under which Australia actually falls. There's going to be a meeting, the EDG responsible for that, and responsible at directorate to actually discuss this particular matter. We know that, we recognize that the role of the Department of International Relations is very important in this process, as already was inducted with them, and we're going to have this formality to engage on this. We have a bilateral agreement with Australia, who have already perused that international agreement. Of course, it also includes culture, cultural cooperation. But of course, that meeting is going to be so indicative of what type of steps are going to take in that regard and how they're going to assist in this process. The member, one of the members of committee spoke about the role of Britain in this. It is a very important issue. Because what has not been raised in South Africa is the atrocities that are committed against indigenous people, the slavery. Part of our research at the Research Council presents the issue of liquor. Why are people consuming liquor this way, especially the Khoisan, Africans in particular, and link that to the slavery period. The issue of Britain, this is a death unacknowledged. At the moment, people are too far to talk about people going to the International Court of Criminal Justice. And again, it brings to the fore about what Britain has done and then where they've been able to answer or at least acknowledge those deaths. I think the King of Amaphosa raised this question on the skull of King Yinsa, which is another death unacknowledged. The dehumanization of Yinsa and then as well as his fellow personal leaders and the leadership at that time. The scar has never been returned, but Britain has not acknowledged that debt that it still owes. Not even a similar approach about those, and I think the Xhosa nation is still very perturbed by that. And of course, the Khoisan nation, about how they were dehumanized and, you know, in that process. So it's very important, is an issue, because we're talking about Australia, but this was the era of the Britain having being, you know, a colonial master, you know, in that regard. And if you read, I mean, all these books, they actually show that how Khoisan people were dehumanized and all the atrocities that were committed by Britain. Under them, and how they suffered in that regard. At the moment, we just talk about languages, but we don't talk about the real atrocities that were committed, you know, on those farms. If you go to the Gori Island, for instance, in Senegal, and as well as South Coast in Ghana, those are the watershed sites that depict slavery, history of slavery. I've been there. For instance, if you go to Gore Island, I mean, they even there, there's a, once a tourist are guided by, there will be police, because once those Jamaicans who, and then are told about those atrocities, they feel a fight with the Americans because of this emotional history of slavery. And this is not an issue. But of course, with the aim of unifying the country going forward, but some people think that matters of heritage are just a frivolous activity, something that just, even when I'm talking about base names, I've had discussions in radio, radio stations where some people say it's a waste of money. But countries go to war because of heritage. The war that has engulfed Palestine and Israel has not been about any material issues, but matters of dignity. When people feel that they are not been affirmed, their own dignity has been impaired. So there's a possibility of the country progressing if at all these matters are not addressed. Once more, this history has unveiled something, excavated, untold memories or untold history, which I think needs to be foregrounded in that regard. The demonization of Khoisan people is a demonization of indigenous people of this country. Monuments. The honourable members asked a question, which is so important. We have seen around the country. I mean, when Gupta Tiong visited South Africa, you are so surprised. I mean, in St. Robert, how memory of indigenous people, the majority of the people of Africa, lies beneath the memory of, you know, settlers or settling community in South Africa. And then it's very important that even our monuments are not strong even though that is, if you've seen the monument of King Giza, Azanzolo, you go to many of the monuments, even modern liberation struggle icons like Sisulu. We have got pieces of I guess, just small pieces of monuments, something called the bust, that can carry in a bag. We don't have strong monuments. It also talks about, for instance, the issue of investment on our own heritage. I think this is very much important. If the Jews have managed to recapture the history, so a million, billion years back, and our people live that history. But the recent history is, I mean, 800 is recent, but it's not known. But compared to the history of Jews. And if you read the book by Andrew Diop, African Civilization, Myth or Reality, he opens up about Africans, where to come from, dialects, the linkage, and all, why I would say called the credit humankind. I think this is very much important. I'll also address the issue of funding later on. There's a question, I think a comment as well, that came here about, you know, traditional affairs. I agree with it, that the traditional affairs bill is important. But also address another issue that is affecting our people. That traditional affairs bill, what is this issue that affects our people is the indigenous knowledge that gets commercialized and the people not getting any benefits out of it. Already we've been told about, you know, the chairperson spoke about this international knowledge. I mean, as we're in China, we've seen, for instance, how Chinese protect the indigenous knowledge of their own, you know, people. Although at the moment we are facing our own indigenous industries being so commercialized, our traditional garments at the moment are being printed, of course, in China. And then with the suffering of our own, you know, people, garments are closing. Those who sell now must go and find a way of printing in China, so that it can compete with Chinese in Africa. The problem actually that is another side of coin. All I'm raising therefore is that there's a need, Chairperson, to look at the WTO, the World Trade Organization, to see how do we, our bargaining power and bargaining strength as Africa is much eroded at the moment, most especially when it comes to traditional garments. We've seen how Ghana has protected the kente cloth. It's their own input to the world. But our own traditional garments and business industries get eroded. I think we're becoming more naked to this globalization than we're supposed to. And it's something that maybe the committee should surely look at. Honourable member, I think Van Baker, has raised the issue of, as much as you want to preserve but don't destroy, I think it's a very important issue. I remember in South Africa, there's the Anglo-Boer War in 1998 was pronounced and agreed upon as a South African war. No more that, I mean, I think that's very telling if you look at the Anglo-Boer War and how the government has treated it. The Heritage Council, in the discussion, for instance, about monuments, well, we view that in as much as you try to balance the equation, don't it? It's important to preserve what isn't there for you as well. I mean, take for instance the debate around the removal of statue of Verwoerd, the architect of apartheid. The other countries on board in that discussion have heard that. We took a different view, which says that when you have apartheid history, you must say when you have the post-apartheid history, you must also have apartheid history. They must talk to each other. My child, who is a Bonfi, who does not know what food is, if you raise that history, there is no opportunity that he'll ever or she know that there was ever. For those who does ever feel food or something, because when you preserve, you must be able to juxtapose. Don't obliterate it. That's what we say. Also in the West, for instance, if you look at the Museum of Holocaust in Germany, they have money to preserve that history. Even when Germany was having a World Cup, preceded us in 2005, so World Cup, they took visitors to their own, museum to say that Jonas Adolf had started here. Now, even in South Africa, sometimes I think at the police level, as far as the Research Council at the moment, is trying to again look at the issue of monuments and what do we preserve and what do we... What would you love to memorialize? Do you want to memorialize, because we want to memorialize, or is it a choice that we want to have? So it is very much important. I'll tell you an example here. The Nelson Mandela Museum in Tata is built over a Bunga building. A Bunga building, this is where Transkei, that is the parliament, that time of Transkei had its own, that building was the parliament of Transkei. Now, the issue then is that if now you are, this history of Nelson Mandela is important, but beneath that history you are also destroying a history that is important for the country. Because so many decisions were taken there, and do you want to, remember selectively? And the question is that you cannot remember selectively, because our kids don't know that there was once parliament. And certain decisions were taken, there were statutes there. But also this policy, we published a policy for public comment. We look at benchmarking, go to Cuba, in the Museum of the Revolution. They have kept the history of Batista, which is one of the dictators, and have said that this is what the new Cuba, but this is the old Cuba. So in that regard, we can have a new and not have an old, so that they talk together. Then I think that to me that is very important. Sometimes people don't want to talk about it,
that's interesting, but we want
to... Lastly, Chair, I'm going to hand over to you. I'm sorry, don't tell it. Don't take it up.
United debate it.
I think I was responding to the question that was really asked here. Or trying to respond, and thank so much for limiting me on that, but I've already dealt with it. There's a member, Mr. Jordan, who's going to deal with the political part of it. But I'm also, that one little thing that I thought I was going to deal with in the comments that came up, or questions, one question from me that I thought I was going to deal with. There's a transformation charter that the Research Council came up with. That transformation charter, it's a very important document, because we consulted South Africans to say what type of a change we'd want. It was very emotional, people are crying there, and so on and so on. But what's important about that document, it's actually focusing how we redress our own heritage in South Africa. And some of the issues that we mentioned, they are important. It takes me to funding. Our heritage needs to be funded. And at the moment, in terms of, we have the portfolio committee to raise on this. I've gone throughout South Africa, and then the issue of that, funding is very important. And then the transformation charter will make it available to the committee to see, and would love the committee to really support the injection of funding, because it takes about 1.8 billion rands that we need, in order to change, for instance, the in order to erect heritage sites. And change, abstract spaces into strategic development nodes. There's something in Hera Peterson going on, but if you go to other sites, there's nothing happening. And if you can invest in those sites, not only knowledge, but also economic development can actually take place. Footprints of Khoisan also included in that. And we've already done on the liberation route and submitted a business plan to the department. Which we hope that will be taken off. And then Mr. My brother, Rachel Dan, will deal with the political, issues. And we'll also come back to deal with the process from here. Where do we go? But questions and the comments are quite encouraging. And I can say that with this, honourable member has also mentioned there, which we take that nobody must claim success in this project. It's not ourselves as well, that we don't want to claim success on it. All what must happen is that it's a country project, we must move forward. We've already projected that on the first week of May, there's going to be another meeting. All the role players who are not here must also be part of that. Sarah, name them, COGD, all the structures, they must actually be part of this, so that you have an inclusive process. Nobody must own it. It belongs to the nation, and it's something that must actually happen. We in the Research Council will pay no effort to ensure that everybody is involved, and we will be submit to a process that is inclusive across the nation, and everybody, above political you know, belong or what. You know, it must, that the project must be, it's important for us. That's why going forward, what they're saying that the submit to include process. But budget, my brother sitting next to me, the DDG, as Denver mentioned, going to need a lot of money. And would love to support as well in that regard. There's going to be others prepared for the process. What will it cost? We've budgeted like six funding in the research council. All the people who have come here actually have been, I think many of them have actually transported them. So you've got funding that must take place when you go to Australia, going around the country in any bit. So we prepare this plan. The question of funding is going to be something, and I hope that when the business plan is done, it will show that as part of submission as well as the Minister of Arts and Culture. This is done and deal with the podcast process, and other members of the steering committee, this steering committee, will also deal with other questions that I'm sure are coming through the chapter. Over to Mr. Jordan.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Mine is very, very short. The political support that is rallied, or that was rallied and is still rallied for the Khoisan course, we started with the Nelson Mandela Bay Municipality. That is about 2 years ago now, and a council resolution was taken by all parties in council of the Nelson Mandela Bay Municipality that they fully support the initiatives that we are busy with. There is also a dedicated councillor that was appointed to assist and support and make sure that the task team, the political task team, gets off the ground. So that has started. It has full blessings, full endorsement from all councillors in the Nelson Mandela Bay Municipality. We then seek the support from the provincial government through the Premier's office, and that was done successfully. So there's full endorsement and support for that. The Honourable Councillor Hope Malfas is a member of the task team. She then also, through her office and the support, ultimately we are here today because of work that she has also put into the process, and therefore we are grateful for the opportunity that we are here today and the work that Hope Malfas has done. The Honourable Member of Parliament of the Legislature in the province, Honourable Christian Martin, has done a lot of support, lobbying, legwork, and I think it is, I would almost say, his endeavours that the whole Dawa Tirman and the Khoisan issues are now flashed in newspapers virtually on a daily basis. Also on television, and we really appreciate that. Therefore, today, we are grateful for all the work that was done by the collector. We then seek the meeting for the National Heritage Resource Agency that happened in Bishu, not Bishu, in the Stivicles, in Ginsberg. And we are grateful with the able and very energetic leadership of the National Heritage Council through the chairperson here today, Mr. Manmotra, Advocate Manmotra. We are grateful for the energy that he is always demonstrating and displaying. And I think this project is in good hands if one looks at the work that the chairperson has done up to this stage. All the other role players have, after a lot of initial discussions, have now accepted the role that is played by the task team, the political task team. And I can safely say that there's one goal, and that is the realization of the return of remains of David Stierman. That is the single goal that we want to achieve, but also the other achievements that we want to pursue is the recognition of the Khoisan ultimately. The whole initiative belongs to the country, And I think it's very important what Honorable Nikki said to us here. Don't claim anything for this project. And we are saying we are not a role player, and our support is always there on behalf of the team. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Sen. I'll be very brief. Pertaining to the issue of the DNA tests and determining who will be the close family, etc. When we dealt with the issue of the reburial of Clark and Roy, I made this proposal that we should not put too much focus on close family. That we, right from the start, view this as being a national event, and that we bring the remains back to South Africa, for South Africa. And if we then break it down further, then we will go to the Khoisan people of the country. And then maybe we can bring in the family. Because in the case of Klaus and Troy, we at the end realized that it became very, very complicated. And there were a lot of tension and division between families and etc. And one must always guide against the fact that a very important and a very big event like that, that it's not been reduced by families, by getting involved in family tension and things like that. So especially this one, Carlton Troy was 1912, so it was not that far in the past. But this one is even much, much distant. So I would suggest that we don't focus really too much on close friends. I know this can be a controversial statement, but it's just for consideration, just to debate a little bit. And then lastly, I just want to say that I really feel that I must say this. The chairperson...
I'm sorry, I think the question was based on the fact that in terms of the DNA, how will you then, let's say, I'll make an example, if you have buried five of them in a grave, maybe also you can service them. That's why I'm asking the family, where will you get the... you call it samples of the skin or something. Because that's why I'm asking, because obviously there must be a family member to identify, because you might find there dropped 20 of them. That's why I'm asking. My question is more easily on that. Yes.
No, it's not necessarily to go to the level of the family DNA, because the forensic scientists will be able to test the bones and look at the questions of diet and the minerals and things, and they should be able to indicate that these remains are coming from Africa. So at least at that level, should be able to test the skeleton to determine this is an African person that is buried here. And it may not be necessary to go any further. It's only if there are four Africans in one grave that you might have a problem. But that's going to be very highly unlikely. So if there is this case where there are lots of remains, then we test all the remains to see which one is the African. And if that's a consensus amongst the stakeholders, then it can stop at that point. Thank you, Chair.
Sorry, Dave. Now I have to make a follow-up then. Hold on. What if the wrong grave? It's an African, but it's not him. Now I want to ask that. It's an African, but it's not him. So I need to ask that.
In that case, Chairperson, clearly you're going to have to try and look for family, but there's going to be a problem because you may find many Stuurmans that are not matching the DNA, but it still might be Stuurman because you haven't found the right family. I think given that we know more or less how many Africans were sent to Australia, deported to Australia, so I think the chances are quite slim that you're going to find more than one African, particularly in that place, because the documents will guide us first to that particular place, the railway station or the other place, and then it's highly unlikely that the five or six other Africans that went there would be buried in the same place. But it comes down to probability.
Okay. I don't know, but I just to make this comment, honourable members, I never was here. 2 weeks ago, during the Freedmen's Rights Day, I'm raising this so that you can understand why I'm raising this question. I went to, we and even Nikki and what almost went to unveil the Stigland Memorial, where prisoners were thrown in the Stigland Cemetery from Robben Island. They never gave them much information. They were saying they are buried here. When they go there, they do this DNA thing. It's not them. They would lie again and say, no, no, they are buried there. Then they ended up not knowing where are they. I'm just raising that issue because the same people who will be giving you the information will be lying to also protect the country. I'm raising it because I even said to the family, I'm sorry to say this when I speak in the podium, maybe they were thrown in the sea. But we are not just told the truth that they threw them in the sea, you know. I'm raising this so that you can think about them, you know. What if they took the David Sherman and said in Australia, but they threw them in the sea? I'm just saying that let's broaden this. That's what I'm asking. So that we can get the correct person, you know. I have to raise it because I don't want to do that tomorrow to bring somebody. There's nothing wrong bringing them who is not the real person. I'm just saying we don't also want tomorrow. I'm not saying our family is going to have their own issues. Even there, they were fighting. No, you are my uncle. You are not your child and everybody. I know what you are avoiding. But I think let's not 100% avoid it as well. Because if it's going to give us problems, we don't want letters to be written to us and say, no, they did it without our consent. You know this, you know what I'm saying? Mr. Jordan, these witches will come after us. But I want us to be very cautious. I'm not a pathologist or whatever, but I'm just saying, let's go to the point. We've seen it being done even by the apartheid agents who would lie and say they were buried here when you go there. Not even one of them is there. I'm just bringing that question. That's why I was asking that question. Get the right person. Because I lie to you. Don't give you somebody all over. I'm it's an issue that I'm raising. That you, as you discuss, you think about it. I'm not sure whether I'm clear on this issue. Okay.
Chairperson, may I make a short follow-up of this? Yes, I think what you said is very important. We must be very cautious that the Aussies don't come forward with something just to get rid of us. That's also possible. You know, maybe their records is not very good or whatever. Tell this to the South African people and then we can carry on with our lives. We must pressurize them. I think that's important. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry, Chairperson, for cutting. I'm not sure. You were still saying finally. Sorry for doing that to you, but I thought I should interject on that issue.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I agree that this that you mentioned is very important. Although you know why I mentioned what I have mentioned. The other thing is just that I feel guilty and I will feel guilty if I don't address this. At the beginning you mentioned the COPTA and that they own us and things like that. I just want to say that we regard ourselves as really mature and that it's not possible that a department or a government can own us. We feel that that is an insult. We cannot be owned by anybody. And then I just want also to say that I was there when the official asked for postponement or for this meeting, and it was really not in a bad spirit. I must mention this. It was just the fact that we, the Khoisan Council and COPTA, and we were not well informed about this David Stearman issue, and that's why we asked for some more time. Just to and we were busy in at that land in Daba in Kimberley, so it was due to that the request came. The request was really not in a bad manner or in bad faith. I just wanted to mention.
Thank you, though.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. We are really humbled by the spirit in which this presentation was received today here. But as custodians of our language and our culture, I fail in my duty if I don't pronounce it here now. I'll never get the opportunity again. You know, when we speak about language, language is your identity. And very little has been done for the languages of the Khoi San people. We're speaking about official languages that we are using in South Africa. If we look at the Khoi farms, we're using a language there, but that language is not official. And when I raised this thing with pencil, I was told that the language need to be developed to a certain standard before it can be recognized as an official language. I also asked that question, what standard? And then the next thing that we need to correct, we're heading for 20 years in this democracy. We're all speaking about the Khoi and San people as we're sitting here, but yet we are not officially recognized. Let's go back to statistics. There's no form recording us as the Khoi San people of South Africa. Every time when we are having this exercise, we don't know where to fill in. With official documentation, there's no place for us. We need to correct these things. Because if we don't know who the people are, how can we plan for the people? We're speaking about land here, getting our land back. How many people are there looking for their land if we don't go back to the basic statistics? So I would really, really want you to take what you have learned here today, because today Nikki came also with this revelation and he said, you know what, in my education there's been a void being kept from this real history. And I feel we're just creating this void to get bigger if we don't address these basic elements of recognition, our language. And please, let us reflect in the statistics of this country. I thank you.
Thank you,
sir. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Members, and everybody present here. Just before I continue, I just want to give some information. Here's a paper that I give you. I don't think you read it. But there is a dictionary in Afrikaans, English, and in the Namaq language now currently. And on Monday, he sang the Nama, the national anthem in Nama. It was a very big first occasion in Kimberley. So the national anthem is available now in one indigenous language, Nama. And then, today I'm proud, I'm also sad, you know, for this occasion. You know, when we was approached by the NHC on, you know, last week, Monday, we have to leave. There was about 800 or more delegates in the North Cape, all over South Africa, to do this land issue. When we left there, there was tension in Kimberley. Very, very much tension due to the issues that everyone here raised, not been recognized. Government is not taking them serious, these kinds of things. And we as leaders, we leave our people, it's like a herder with our sheep there. We leave them there to be slaughtered. Used for this thing, to approach you or to do this presentation. When we were in Johannesburg Airport, we've been phoning because things were happening there. No, government was chased out because of rebelling groups from the Western Cape, in particular itself. And we have to recall our people from Northern Cape to KwaZulu-Natal to withdraw from the dialogue. Only after then, there was consensus and the chairperson, they only came back with the CEO last night to resolve the issue there. These issues like this that we're facing as National Khoi San Council, and I'm glad that there's a portfolio committee like you to handle these cases. And I'm also glad that see two members, they said they are dual on the rural development side as well. Because last year I did the presentation there with them as well with the special land reform thing. And this is really an issue. It's not about us as God and Son. It's an African thing. People must understand, really, this is African. If you go to Upington in Papalelo, there's Xhosa people. And they're not speaking Xhosa. They're speaking Afrikaans. They went to Afrikaans school. It's the first location in South Africa that Xhosa people speak Afrikaans, promoting Afrikaans, not their own culture. So this is the thing that we need to rectify. Because now we turn more westernized. Even if I'm talking to white people, so it's Afrikaner people. It's European things, westernized things. And we tend to forget our roots. As Tony said, once we go back to our roots. In Upington, there's two schools in South Africa. Only two schools that teach children now language. These schools have been, they're doing it out of the municipal houses. It's shameful. It's shameful because these people have been, these small children, elderly people have been, they have to seek funds from mines. While there is a person called, I think, Mr. Damara. He, the Department of Education, appointed him. He was only working for 3 months. When he came to office in that district, Siana district, they just tell him to say, sorry, pack up your things and go. And he was promoting an indigenous language, teaching people everything. That's why it's an opportunity for us to bring it to you, attention. I see you are very passionate in, and I've got no doubt. You make me proud today with each and every said here today. But really, I wanted you to take it forward. Lastly, I don't think my colleague there, Andrew, mentioned this thing, because there was a debate last night until this morning for us, because some of us we met only last night. According to him, there's a team walking again from Port Elizabeth. They will be arriving here on the 26th of this month. To hand over a petition to you, that person, I think, regarding this perpetration. And what government did, also on Monday, government stood firm, government said, we don't need to walk to talk to government on these kinds of issues. So you can see we're working now, we're talking past each other. That's why I didn't know if you mentioned that, but I'm also mentioning that on his behalf, it's part of this. So they become aware. Marcel allies with him when they currently, according to him, yesterday they were in Meisner. So they already left Port Elizabeth. So they are halfway now, probably now. Thank you very much.
I thank you. I would like to say a few things here to the Honorable House here, parliamentaries, chiefs, acknowledge all of you. I would like to thank the departments involved in bringing back the legend of a steerman to the house and land of his birth. It is so sad to see that one must go to all this trouble, whereas it would be so easy if the Australian government could just release my fellow brother. Because to me, I felt that even though he passed away, he's still in prison. In the death, cause he was not free during the time of his death. Because I believe when you are free, you must be in the land of your choice or at home. So I plead to all of you, let's make this dream come true. And then we'll sing that song, Free at Last, Free at Last. Praise God, we're free at last. Because to me, my brothers and sisters, it is a shame. If one is in death, still a prisoner. How is it then? How do we feel? You know that your brother is in another country who was taking him away by force, and still we must now use force to get him back. And that's not the way that the Khoi San people operate. We are not afraid to fight, because we started the frontier wars in this country of our own. Then we had to fight, and now we start another fight. So please, I plead to you, government of South Africa, bring back our brother. I can't speak.
Thank you. There were hands at the back, starting with
I think he's been raising his hand. Mr. Henderson. Errol, is he still? Okay, there was another hand. Who raised his hand at the back? I think the gentleman with the green. Did you raise your hand?
Yes, sorry.
Yes.
I think we're done with the agenda from our side. I will propose that from our side we're done. Because there's also flights that we look at. And we don't want to create our cost and stuff. And I don't want to open that much. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Can are we done?
Done.
Are you raising your hand, ma'am?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Chairperson, there's also something I just like the meeting to know. I heard from Dr. Farabas that he says, thank you, my brothers, but I'm a woman here. So I would like him to say, thank you, my brothers and sisters. Then I would feel better. I mean, I would feel better. I doesn't mean anything.
Okay.
I want them to recognize me as a woman. Because of if you hit a woman, you hit a rock. And I'm here for sitting as a rock. So unfortunately, there's nothing going to happen with me here.
Okay. Errol, before you left, your hand was bending because you were closing the meeting. There was something. Did you want to raise anything?
Just your point about, you know, the finding of the remains and stuff like this. There is one source which we found which said that Stearman, Steve David Stearman's name was changed into Sherman, and he adopted the Catholic religion, you know, when he was free. And it is the norm of the Catholics during that period of time to bury their people in their own graveyard next to the church, happening in South Africa as well. So it could make it easier. But that one source still needs to be verified with another source.
Thank you. I think we have to close the meeting now. Ms. Manoj, do you want to say anything?
I'm sorry, members. Very short. We can't take this you for granted by not thanking you, Chairperson.
Okay.
Because we thank you really because I think for all what you have done for the sector and the culture, you have managed. I think the committee as well. But I'm starting with you, Chairperson, to acknowledge the kind of enthusiasm you have for matters of culture. And without a Chairperson like you, I don't think that sector will progress. And will progress because of what you, who is really passionate about these issues. And I'm really, on behalf of the steering committee and the research council, would love to thank this person of the portfolio committee. The members as well, last night, all these members of this team did not sleep because we respect the committee. And they ensure that everything at least was put to order and so that we can be able to have a fruitful discussion. And all the comments that have been made by members of the committee, who are so thankful for the full committee, you are encouraging us and we have encouraged as our leadership. We will not fail the committee. And thanks so much. The member there this morning was closing the meeting and even today he's closing the meeting. Because I know that he's hopeful about that, and so this morning he did that, and without fail. And as we journey back, we understand the campaign, and the member as well sitting next to us, these issues can be motive, even when you are so emotional about these issues, and we learn about that and take it forward spiritually on the issues. And thanks so much to this committee. You are really, I think, making us proud of the leadership like you, who support us as really our own, I think, heart, if you will say that. And thank you so much.
Thanks, Ms. Sandima. Chairperson of the Council?
From the side of the Council, I must also convey my gratitude that you received us here today. I'm sure that all the members of the Council that are here will agree with me that this was a very, very fruitful meeting and that we feel humbled and that we must also say that in the past this building was a building that ordinary people like us never entered, and now we can also walk into this building. So we feel grateful that we could be here, not only grateful to the Portfolio Committee, but also grateful to the National Heritage Council and to the Department of Arts and Culture, represented here by Stanley Dima. Thank you very much, and may this endeavor have a very, very good outcome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, members, and I just to say thank you to the NEC, thank you to the Department and the National Cohesion Council, and thank you for honoring my request to meet you. I know it was very, very quick, but thank you for honoring. I think the way the message came to us, it was not in a manner that we appreciated, but fine, it was been sorted. Members, thank you so much. To the lady from the trustees, can we just say we'll communicate with you, that we'll give you time next week, because I think now we are tired. We'll give you time next week. I think we're meeting on Tuesday. You can come quickly just with the Portfolio Committee on the issue of them. I think the issue of the state will also discuss next week, because one of those burning issues. And as we've said, a member Van Salvek, history will never perish while we are there. You know, recently when they invited us to Freedom Park, I was saying, let the history start correctly from colonialism till now, you know. But when we say I want people to live with the notion that we will never destroy, but we also present whatever we have, because I was even saying to somebody, if we don't want to remove the other one, we can put a big Mandela inside from it. There are options to everything, but I'm just saying that I think when we live here, let's live with a mind that we need to honor this man, especially now in his very old age. He opened democracy for this parliament that we thought all of us will never enter. Let us do it in that spirit as well. We thank you so much. Thank you to all members of the staff, members of the media. Thank you, and the meeting is adjourned. You opened with a prayer, and I will not close with a prayer. Yes. You opened with a prayer, now you are not closing with a prayer.
Okay, cool. All right, I'll ask her.